What's going on, folks? And thank you for tuning in with me to another edition of the True Capitalist Radio broadcast. And, of course, I am your host, the man they call Ghost. And once again, folks, I want to thank you very much for tuning in with me. Once again, this is Baller Friday for all the folks that are tuning in. And this is episode number 609 for all the folks that are keeping track of the True Capitalist Radio broadcast. It is August 24, 2018. Thank God it's the weekend. You know what I'm saying? Anyway, folks, I want to thank you for tuning in with me. Before we get started, I'd like to ask each and every one of you to please spread this show link around like wildfire. And I got to take care of my voice, for Christ's sake, because my voice was pretty much shot right after the Wednesday's broadcast. So spread it around like wildfire and let everybody you know throughout the internet and throughout the world, let them all know that True Capitalist Radio is in effect and in the house. And we are live every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 6:30 p.m. Central Standard Texas Time, right here on the official website of the True Capitalist Radio broadcast. And once again, I love being independent now. Type this in your browser, add this to your bookmarks, and add this to your favorites. The following: ghost.report. All right, it's as simple as that. Type that in your browser, add that to your bookmarks, add that to your favorites. Ghost.report is the official website, folks. And by the way, I want to say what's going on to the True Capitalist Radio chat room. What's going on? And if you have not done so, please follow me on my only social media representation on the internet today, and that's on Gab, folks. All right? And if you don't have yourself a Gab account, well, I don't know what the hell you're doing. It is the last bastion of freedom of speech and social media today. And you can follow me on there, on that Gab network. You can get there by typing in gab.ai in your browser. You can follow me on there under the name Politics Ghost. All right? All one word, no underscores. Politics Ghost is the name to follow. And by the way, if you want to be a part of the True Capitalist Radio chat room, just listen to the following. It's very easy. Go to my Gab account right now, Politics Ghost, and click the subscribe button for premium content, all right? Click the subscribe button for premium content, and once you do, private message me on Gab and let me know your Discord chat name, because that's where the chat room is on Discord. Give me your Discord chat name on private message in Gab, and I will private message you back with a private invitation to the True Capitalist Radio chat room. It's that damn simple. And let me go ahead and give some preliminary shout-outs to everybody who's joining us on this Baller Friday, Episode 609 edition of the True Capitalist Radio broadcast. Let's go ahead and go to the chat room. We've got Spectre in the house. What's going on, man? Tesla, Cyberheart, Stillwaters, Stagio, Sony Man. What's going on, man? Newest member of the chat room. How you doing? We got Pepe the Frog, Nat in the house, Metaform. What's up, man? We got Man Bear Pig, Kittykins, Holden Capitalist, Hawk Late Milk, Capitalist America, Australian Capitalist, and Aesthetic. What's going on to Curly McWhirley and everybody else who's chatting in, who's just not in the voice chat at this point in time? Props to you all. Once again, if you want to join us, go ahead and click on the subscribe button for premium content on my Gab, and then private message me your Discord chat name thereafter, and I'll give you an invitation to the True Capitalist Radio chat room. Anyway, now that we got that out of the way, I do want to remind everybody that we are selling some merch, you know, that does help the broadcast and also makes you look good at the same time. If you want to go take a look at that, all you have to do is type in the following on your browser. That is ghost.market. That's it. That's all you got to type in your browser. Ghost.market, and check out all that merch that we've got there that's going to make you look cool, nice, and all that good stuff, all right? Now, before I get into the crypto and stock markets here in a few minutes, I do want to take time to talk a little bit about the subject matter that I began episode number 608 with, which had a lot to do with folks that were kicked out of the inner circle for one reason or another. Now, I'm not going to talk about those characters any longer, but what I do want to talk about is the what was inspired thereafter. And what was inspired thereafter, folks, was a lot of individuals who were private messaging me both on Gab and on the Discord chat, coming to me because they were in similar situations or about to put themselves in similar situations in which they were going to make a decision that was going to affect their entire lives because of that one decision. And I want to let everybody know that just because these characters have made bad decisions in lives and have succumbed to their own mediocrity and they're overachieving and, you know, decided to just kind of realize that they're going to stay stagnant, so let's just go ahead and hurt other people because my life sucks. That doesn't mean that, you know, you make one bad choice that you're a bad person. You turn yourself into a bad person. You turn yourself into somebody who is miserable to be around because you just don't like your life. And if you don't like your life, especially if you live in America, then it's your fucking fault, okay? Now, I want to talk a little bit about a couple of people that private messaged me and were concerned because they themselves have been working hard in the inner circle and they themselves have been concerned since the incident that, hey, you know, should I get married? Should I buy this property? Should I get myself into something that I'm going to be burdened with for the next 10, 20, or a lifetime? And I say to you, I am not trying to prohibit you from doing anything. I don't want you to do anything that I say unless you say that it fits into your life. And that's the thing about capitalism, folks. It is the freedom to do whatever it is that you want to do. Now, these individuals made choices out of their own free will. And as a result, they don't like the consequence of those choices that they made. And as a result, they're out here trying to use the internet as a means of harassing and, you know, just kind of making people's lives miserable because their lives are miserable. But your lives doesn't have to be miserable because you made a bad mistake. And I told this story in the inner circle yesterday, and I'm going to tell it again here today, this evening, Baller Friday. Folks, we're human. We're going to make bad mistakes. We're not going to make the best decisions all the time. And the thing about being an adult is to fess up and own up to your bad mistakes. And that means not ignoring them and just succumbing to them and then making them turn you into a piece of miserable crap. You either negotiate them or conquer them. I knew somebody personally, folks, and I told this story in the inner circle, and I think it, you know, kind of is very important into this scenario. I knew a couple, me and Mrs. Ghost, who were in a very bad situation. They had purchased a home in 2007, and if you all know, folks, that was the prime peak of the real estate market before we came into the current day that we're in presently. And from 2007 to 2008, they saw more than half of what their mortgage was go down in housing value. Let me explain what I mean by this. These people had purchased a $400,000 home in 2007, and a bank gave them a mortgage for $400,000, and then 2008 came around, and as a result, everyone around them, people they knew, were getting fired, they were foreclosing on their homes, and as a result of all that employment contraction, economic contraction, everything. As a result of that, the housing market went down faster than a French prize fighter, folks. It went down fast. And from the time that they purchased their home at $400,000, it went down as low as $190,000. So they came to me and Mrs. Ghost. I remember the day vividly. We were having dinner. And they asked us very candidly what they should do. What they should do. I mean, they're seeing everybody foreclose. The price of their home is more than half gone, and yet they still have a mortgage for $400,000. And I sat there and I told them that, look, I'm suggesting this to you, and you could do whatever the hell you want to do. But what you need to do is you need to just forget about the fucking credit cards, okay? That's unsecured debt, all right? I mean, that is, your credit score, believe it or not, is not the most important thing in the fucking world. I mean, you can always rebuild it in times of dire straits in which, you know, it's either you eating or you paying these stupid fucking, what is it, 20%, 25%, 30% interest credit cards. That's unsecured debt. Sure, your credit score takes a beating, but I don't want to be an expert on what to do when it comes to that. There's a lot of ways you can play bad credit. It's not hard to get your credit back to the way it was. It's not difficult. But I'm telling you this, and I told them, and I'm going to tell each and every one of you. If you go and foreclose on a home, if you go and foreclose on a car that is funded by a financial institution, a bank, you become financially toxic for a lifetime. And no bank, no financial institution will ever, ever lend you any money for any reason ever again. And the probability of you dying miserable and broke is that much more higher. Because how the hell are you going to get another house when no bank is going to give you a loan for it? How the hell are you going to get another nice car when a bank's not going to give you a loan for it? Because you foreclosed on your home. You got your goddamn car repossessed. These are institutions that you cannot, as an individual who are using them as a means of obtaining things, you cannot stop paying. And I told them that, look, you're just going to have to grit and bear it. This was a bad decision that you made, and it depends on how you look at it. Y'all wanted the home. Y'all got the home. Unfortunately, it's not worth what it was when you bought it. You need to pay the $400,000 note and forget about the credit cards and just continue going forward. Eat the fucking shit. Bite the bullet. And you know, those folks actually took my advice, folks. They actually continued to pay for the house, and they continued to try to gather up whatever it could to try to pay up, even double pay the home. They were trying to use my advice as a means of saying, you know what, Ghost is right. This is a bad decision, but you know what? It's an asset. You know, the sooner we can pay this off, the sooner we could put this behind us and move forward. So from 2008, 2009, 2010, 2011, that's what this couple did. They bit the bullet, they grit and bared it, and they kept paying on a $400,000 housing note, even though the value of the damn thing was at $190,000. Well, guess what happened? 2011 came around, and guess what? The house not only was back to the way it was at $400,000, that year going into 2012, it even added $50,000 to the value from which they bought it in 2007. So what they did, folks, because they were already halfway through paying for the $400,000 note, because remember, I mean, they were both working, they busted their ass, they had one child, which made it a lot easier, busting their ass, going out there and trying to pay for this mortgage because they knew it was a mistake, and then 2011 comes around, all of a sudden their home is not only worth the $400,000, it's worth $450,000. So what do they do, folks? And I'm telling you this, folks, it's every time I see their business, I smile. These folks realize that, oh shit, look, we're back. We grit and bared it. And look, Ghost was right. It's our opportunity now. So what did they do? They took a fucking home equity loan on all that equity that they own in that fucking house that they were almost about to foreclose on, but they listened to Old Ghost and they grit and bared it and fucking paid for their responsibilities. And guess what, man? They've got one of the biggest, I'm not even going to tell you the corporation that they own in this state, but they own a pretty big corporation that's now spreading northward. And I'm proud of these people. I'm proud of these people because you know what? That's what grit and bearing it does. Not succumbing to mediocrity. Not succumbing to the fact that, oh, gee, I made a bad decision. I guess I'm just going to have to succumb to this and be a miserable piece of shit. No! No, that's not what you do. What you do, if you're a capitalist, is work that much harder, that much less sleep, that much more financially creative, etc. And that's what I did during the Obama administration. And I'm going to tell you from firsthand, people that I knew for a decade that were a part of the Chamber of Commerce, that had small businesses, were just dropping like flies during the Obama administration, going out of business like it was going out of style. And what's unfortunate is that the reason they were going out of business was because of Obama implementing all the regulation, up in the taxes, bringing in the Obamacare situation is what killed most of the businesses that I knew that I used to have Christmases with. You know, people that were really affluent in their communities, people that would host events, they were in the gutter. They were broke. They were broke. And I knew that I had to figure out a way to either be that much more capitalistic creative, or I had to figure out how to work that much harder to beat this fucking mulatto Obama for two goddamn presidential terms. And as a result of that, I don't mean to blame Obama for this, but as a result of that, I started drinking. And it wasn't drinking like I get up in the morning, I start drinking. It was because I was working so fucking hard. I was getting little sleep. I was busting my ass because I refused to allow Obama to beat me. And not only did I work hard and get that less sleep because I wanted to sustain my lifestyle. Because look, I'm going to be honest with you. I saw a lot of people that were once a certain socioeconomic class. And when Obama came along, and they didn't know how to react. They had never seen such an administration, and they went by the wayside. The first people that are going to point and laugh at you are the people that you thought that they were your friends. The first people that are going to point and laugh at you are people that you thought they were close family, that you can no longer give any kind of money or financial benefit to. And I saw that with countless friends or associates that I had seen in real life. It is a fucking shame. And that's why I started drinking, because after the end of a hard day's work, I was like, man, you know what? I'm drinking, man. And once I would start drinking, man, it was like, yeah, that's it. I could conquer anything. I could do anything. The stress, the onslaught of all kinds of obstacles on me was just kind of brushed off. And I drank for 10 goddamn years because of Obama. But still, I did not give up. I did not stop. And as a matter of fact, I used Obama and everything he tried to throw at me and every fucking capitalist in this country, I used it to make me stronger. I didn't fucking succumb to the bullshit that everybody around me was. I saw homeowners that were no longer homeowners. I saw business owners paying with fucking food cards. I saw people that were gainfully employed accept welfare and think it was a great time. I felt like a fucking idiot during the Obama administration. When it felt like I was the only schmuck paying for my own food. I'm not even kidding, folks. I go into a fucking HEB in this fucking goddamn state of Texas, the conservative state of Texas, and I swear to God, every fucking line I was in, every time I was going to pay for the fucking groceries, it doesn't matter who it was, black, white, Mexican. It didn't matter who they pull out that fucking Lone Star card and swipe it, and it made me sick. It made me feel like a fucking idiot. But you know what? I didn't succumb to it. I didn't succumb to it because everybody else did. I'm a fucking capitalist. I'm not going to sit here and succumb to bullshit because, oh, everybody else is doing it, dude, so it's cool. That's what I'm trying to tell you, folks. The whole reason why these characters were kicked out of the inner circle were because they made bad decisions that they can't crawl out of. And they're too much of a chicken shit, nor do they have the mental capacity to even attempt to conquer or negotiate. And that's the way it is. And instead of being a fucking man, because most of these people are late 20s, mid 30s, instead of being a fucking man and getting up and fucking grit and bearing it, they're trying to take the welfare type way out. Whatever's easier, because it already sucks now anyway. So let's just take the path that's easy, because my life sucks. And that's typical. I want to be honest with you. That's typical of that demographic. People ages from 24 to about 40. That's typical. That's why these people have never taken control of any institution of authority in this country. None of them. None of these people that are in that age group. Why? They're incompetent. They're incompetent because they were fucking products of public education, which didn't teach them a goddamn thing, and then they went to college, and college was the biggest scam of all time. Biggest scam of all time. I mean, they indoctrinated these fucking idiots from this age group into believing that if they got a college degree, that they were going to be successful in life and making fucking $100,000, $200,000, $300,000 and having a big home and a white picket fence and 2.35 kids and all that shit. But instead, what they found is that when everyone's getting an education, then an education means nothing. And that's what every one of you losers in this demographic who are trying to point the finger at everybody else for your fucked up stupid life, you need to look in the mirror and realize that you should have became aware. Because remember, you're an adult at 18. And that's when you graduate from high school. You're an adult. So they technically didn't con you. You were of age to make your own decision. And what did y'all want to do? Y'all wanted to go to college. Y'all wanted to party. Y'all wanted to be fraternities and sororities. And you thought that going through this and getting any kind of an education is going to be a key to success. I mean, it's unbelievable. And you know what's sad about it? The average student from... I mean, this is the most recent average from 2017. The average student has $35,000 in college debt. $35,000. And you know what's even more sick? Is that you morons in this fucking category who are bitching and moaning about your goddamn college debt, you want to literally get on your knees and praise Barack Obama as if he is the liberal god when it was he who nationalized the student debt program and is the reason why you have to continue to pay for that ridiculous school debt until, I don't know, what is it, lifetime, 25 years, whatever. Because prior to that, folks, all you had to do was file for bankruptcy and then throw all your debts, including your student debts, into the bankruptcy, and then boom, you never have to pay for it again. That's what most of the professors that are in higher education today did. And I always challenge each and every one of you. We're about to enter a new school year. I challenge you, any of these professors that are over the age of 45, ask them if they filed their student loans in their bankruptcy and watch how their faces are going to be like, no. What makes you say that? And yet you stupid college graduate living off your mama's basement, mindless idiots, you still praise Obama as if he's something great when he's the one that puts you in debt bondage before you even got a fucking job. And you know, I said this back in the day. I used to say this back in 2010 and 2011. I said that, watch, all of you people, because I remember there was a crop of people that were going out there getting educations, thought they were going to have a great life in 2010, 2011, had a bunch of college kids, thought they were all badass because they read a couple of books. I said, watch, you are going to be in debt, and that is going to be literally something that's going to hinder you from doing anything in life. Because remember, college debt is like buying a house. That is a lifetime decision now, kids. And unless mommy and daddy are going to pay for it, or unless you're so fucking smart you got a scholarship, or unless you're so fucking stupid that you got a grant, or poor, I mean, not stupid, but poor and stupid, then you, I would strongly advise you to not even go to college unless you're going to go to a community college to enhance your skills for the labor force. Because I always said in 2010, 2011, the person that is selling oranges on the street corner, the Mexican that's selling oranges on the street corner, actually has it better if he's smart enough. Because let's say he sells oranges on a street corner and this son of a bitch makes $500 a week selling oranges. And he doesn't have any kind of debts. He doesn't have any credit because he's probably taking cash only, you know. So, you know, he doesn't have any credit. So he's got $500 cash and he's saving it and saving it and saving it. And all he's got to do is save for a month and he's better than all of you people that graduated college and are in debt for fucking $35,000, $45,000, $50,000. All right? A Mexican on the corner that is selling oranges is better off than you fucking people that are out here, yeah, I went to college, dude, and I got this fucking college education. Unless you're going to college to become a badass scientist, engineer, something in mathematics, etc., then don't even bother. And even if you're going into those fields, please be sure that you even have the mental capacity to do it. Jesus Christ. Anyway, folks, look, I didn't mean to get off on this whole soliloquy about this, but I just want to let everybody know that just because you make bad decisions in life, just because you're an idiot single person with a lot of cash and you're like, you know what, I need a house and decide to throw half your fucking savings on a damn house that you don't need, a three-bedroom house you don't need. Even if you make some decision like that, you could still persevere. But you got to work harder. You got to kick more ass, you know? You got to be more creative. I mean, you could still be a badass capitalist even if you get some, you know, black chick or some deaf chick pregnant. I mean, you just have to work 1,000 times harder. You just got to fucking get that much less sleep. But, you know, these guys are too busy memeing, for Christ's sake, right? No, you don't understand, Ghost. I'm a miserable, mediocre piece of shit. I know, just based on my own finances and what I'm capable of, I'm not going to be able to save shit, Ghost, okay? And because I'm never going to be able to save shit, and because I'm going to have to pay for some fucking half a deaf kid and some half-black kid and a three-bedroom house, I'm not going to be able to save, so fuck everything, all right? Fuck everything, fuck you, fuck me, fuck everything, dude. Who cares? I don't care about nothing. I'm memeing now, dude. That's what I'm doing. I'm memeing now, dude. So anyway, that's that. All right, let's go ahead and move on forward. I hope everybody understands what I'm talking about. After that little 30-minute soliloquy, if I don't say so myself, let's go ahead and talk a little bit of cryptocurrency here, okay? Now, the funny thing that we're witnessing in the cryptocurrency markets is we're seeing a rise even though the Federal Reserve Chairman talked very, very short today at the Economic Symposium that the Federal Reserve holds in Jackson Hole, Wyoming. And I have to use a press or a business press coin phrase when describing the Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell's speech. It was a dovish speech, very ambiguous. He didn't say anything that he hasn't said before. He said that the interest rates could rise if we continue to see the markets or the American economy, quote, heat up. And the reason that they want to raise interest rates, I'm putting this in very simple terms, is to not overheat the economy, quote unquote. But at the same time, Jerome Powell was invoking the spirit of Alan Greenspan for some reason. I don't know if y'all heard this. I mean, you had Jerome Powell invoking Alan Greenspan and praising him. Now, for you folks that aren't aware, Alan Greenspan was the Federal Reserve Chairman for some time. I mean, in the 90s, late 90s, to early 2000s. This was the guy who decided to just throw the printing presses on the American fiat currency and never let it stop. This was the guy that just kept printing money and printing money, and that was his solution for everything. Just keep printing money. Don't worry about it. Keep printing money. Keep printing money. Keep printing money. And we barely stopped that little printing press run about a few years ago. Like a year before Donald Trump was elected is when they started, Janet Yellen at the time, started raising interest rates at a quarter point. So that's why you have not just the cryptocurrency markets, but you also have the stock markets acting positively, because that ambiguous talk that Jerome Powell is trying to convey, it sounds to me that he may hold off. And he also alluded to the fact that he may hold off come Christmas time. Like, he may hold rates steady. So it was a very weird speech today. And obviously, everybody who's in the investment community is thinking that they're not going to raise it. So as a result, you're seeing the dollar, U.S. dollar index, is down, folks. And, I mean, I don't know what to say. I was really, really shocked to hear such a dovish Fed. And that's why you're seeing some increases all across the board. So let's talk about the increases first in cryptocurrency, and then we'll move on to stocks, commodities, etc. Let's go ahead and go to the market capitalization of the entire cryptocurrency markets. It is $216 billion in market capitalization for the entire cryptocurrency market. 216. That's not too bad, folks. I'd like to see that climb even higher. I don't know if this means that we're going to... Look, I don't know what the Fed is going to do, but based on the reaction of the investment community doesn't believe that the Fed is going to be raising interest rates. And how do we know this? Well, they're putting their fucking money where their mouth is here in the markets. So let's go ahead and go to Bitcoin right now, folks, all right? Now, I've been telling you, folks, the more and more the business media continues to push this Bitcoin pump. I keep hearing experts, so-called, saying that Bitcoin's going up to this and Bitcoin's going up to that. I'm going to be honest with you, folks. I believe that they're going to try to pump this thing. Once again, we do have the ETF. As a matter of fact, there was an ETF yesterday that was in front of the SEC, two of them, as a matter of fact, in relation to Bitcoin, and they both got rejected. Now, that didn't really affect the market much, which is very interesting. And, you know, somebody in the inner circle pointed out that this could be a good sign that the SEC probably did not okay the two ETFs yesterday to try to see how the market reacts and if it's still a kind of a Wild West impulsive type of situation. We didn't see the type of double-digit decreases that we would have anticipated when we saw a rejection of an ETF beat in relation to Bitcoin. Now, we still have the Winklevoss Twins ETF, I believe it's to September 30th. And that's really the important one, because the Winklevoss twins, to their credit, they were the first ones to bring cryptocurrency to Wall Street. So, I mean, you got to give them credit. They did get Jude out of the Facebook situation, but, you know, Mark Zuckerberg, you know what I'm saying? But anyway, let's go ahead and get to Bitcoin. I've been suggesting that we're going to see some kind of a gradual increase. We're seeing one now. So let's take a look at it, man. We've got Bitcoin, BTC. Current market capitalization is $115 billion market cap. The circulating supply for Bitcoin is 17.2 million in circulation. In the past 24 hours, we have seen Bitcoin go up 2.93%. Current price for Bitcoin, folks, is $6,718.17. So we're approaching, you know, we're approaching $7,000. Let's see if we see that $7,000 point, if we don't see a breakout to $7,500, $7,800. We'll see what happens, you know. And by the way, the dollar is down. The dollar is down, so there's a direct correlation with the U.S. dollar index being down, and of course, the cryptocurrencies going up. Let's go to Ethereum. ETH is the symbol. Current market capitalization of Ethereum is $28 billion market cap. The circulating supply, folks, is 101 million in circulation. In the past 24 hours, Ethereum has gone up 2.42%. Current price for Ethereum is $283.26 per Ethereum. Bitcoin Cash, the same thing, folks. Everything is up today. BCH is the symbol for Bitcoin Cash. Market cap for Bitcoin Cash is $9.2 billion in market capitalization. The circulating supply is 17.3 million in circulation. In the past 24 hours, Bitcoin Cash has gone up 1%. Current price for Bitcoin Cash is $535.54 per Bitcoin Cash. Let's get to Litecoin. Litecoin is up very modestly today. Market cap for Litecoin is $3.3 billion market cap. The circulating supply for Litecoin is 57 million in circulation. In the past 24 hours, Litecoin has gone up 1.33% increase. Current price for Litecoin is $57.92 per Litecoin. Let's get to Monero. Remember, Monero is a shortened pattern trading play. I know that you're seeing a lot of hoopla in the cryptocurrency media pitting Zcash against Monero. I don't think fucking Monero has a chance if you're going to pit against Zcash. And that's my opinion. I'm only covering Monero because it likes to run. It's a very good short or swing pattern trading play. So that's why I cover it. Let's go ahead and get to it. XMR is the symbol for Monero. Market cap is $1.5 billion market cap. Circulating supply is 16.3 million in circulation. In the past 24 hours, Monero has gone up 4.58%. Current price for Monero is $93.84 per Monero. Let's go ahead and get to Dash, folks. Now, I've been seeing some pretty good media write-ups in the crypto world about Dash. So that suggests to me that something's happening here, and I would eyeball Dash if y'all haven't already done so and take a look at it. We're at pretty good lows here. We're at pretty good lows for Dash, lest we forget that we've got people holding the bag on Dash up to about $1,400. So somebody out there is holding bags from $1,400 to the 145 point that we're at. So let's go ahead and cover it really fast here. Dash, symbol D-A-S-H, market cap is $1.2 billion market cap. Circulating supply, folks, is a lot nice and low, 8.2 million in circulation. In the past 24 hours, Dash has gone up 3.40%. Current price for Dash, as I mentioned earlier, $145.17. And I'm telling you, I think that's a good buy right now. I mean, these are very, very low, coming up off very low prices. As a matter of fact, I think the market as a whole is very good to kind of invest in anything that you've ever wanted to put in your portfolio. We're at very good lows right now. I mean, you take a look at the U.S. dollar index chart. I mean, how much higher can the dollar go, right? How much higher can the dollar go? And not to mention, you know, even though we are bringing integrity into the dollar by raising interest rates and recalling all those outstanding dollar bills and currencies, we are still having to raise interest rates for our bond auctions, meaning whenever we have to secure more funds so that the government can continue to sustain itself, the government sells bonds in an international market. It's called a bond auction. Now, unfortunately, because Donald Trump is fucking flexing nuts out here and pissing everybody off, nobody wants to buy the United States debt anymore. I mean, you don't have that many international investors coming in and buying those bonds so that, you know, we can continue to fund our government. I mean, that's how we're funding our government, folks, is by selling bonds. Now, with that being said, what the Treasury has to do is increase the bond yields of those bonds to make it attractive for investors to come in so that they can purchase them so that the United States can have the money to continue to sustain itself. Now, it's those bond yields that are going higher that are the key for a potential down, and I mean a downward trend for the U.S. dollar. And that's something I haven't heard the Federal Reserve Chairman even mention. So just keep in mind that, folks. Remember, I mean, I'm just trying to give you all a well-rounded understanding in finance so that you can use some of the data that I'm putting forth on this broadcast, integrate it into your strategies, and use it so that you can kick some fucking ass out here in some capitalism. And that's what I'm doing. Anyway, let me continue going. Let's get to Zcash here, all right? Zcash, Z-E-C. Let's go ahead and take a look at it. Current market cap right now is $653 million for Zcash, Z-E-C. And moreover, folks, the circulating supply, which makes Zcash very attractive, is only 4.6 million in circulation. That's it. In the past 24 hours, folks, we have seen Zcash go up 5.39%. Now, something interesting that somebody in the inner circle pointed out today, and you notice that I keep quoting the inner circle because the inner circle is like a well-run machine again since we kicked out these stupid bad actors that just want to go and be 30-somethings and post memes and be, you know, jerk-offs that post nigger and kike and all that crap. I mean, we're productive again, man. We're talking crypto. We're talking business. It's a breath of fresh air in there again. Thank God. But anyway, somebody in the inner circle was noticing in some of the bigger exchanges that they trade in that you got more buys than sells on Zcash in every major exchange out here. So that's very interesting, and that's based on charts. You know, we're chart analyzing in there, volume analyzing. And there is a lot more buys right now than there are sells, at least in some of the bigger high-volume exchanges. So just something to keep an eye on there. Let's keep it going, folks. Let's talk a little bit about ZeroX, ZRX. Now, ZRX is taking it on the teeth like most cryptocurrencies out here. But once again, there hasn't been a cryptocurrency in this market that hasn't taken it on the teeth. There hasn't been one. I mean, every one of them are at, like, lows going back to, like, summer going into fall of 2017. So we're going into pretty good lows. That's why I tell everybody right now, if you have not gotten into the cryptocurrency wave to get your fair share, your share of some profit, then get into it now, man. I mean, these are great prices. Now, why do I like ZeroX? Well, the same reason that that I liked Ethereum Classic. We'll get to Ethereum Classic in a second. It got put on, but this is a little different than Ethereum Classic. ZeroX, its technology is being used to trade in a in an exchange that was purchased by Coinbase. And the technology being used by ZeroX could potentially be integrated in Coinbase's mainnet, but for right now, it's just being used to trade. So it's something to mention, all right? Now, ZeroX is ZRX, All right. Now, this is a very nice coin, and I'm going to tell you why. I'm going to tell you why. And I've been saying this for a minute. Now, take a look at EOS right now. And I don't cover EOS because it's a shit coin. But if you take a look at EOS and the chart on EOS for a year, let's go ahead and go there right now if you happen to be in a chart situation. Take a look at the year's chart of EOS, okay? It was dirt garbage throughout all of 2017. You could have purchased You could have purchased EOS from September 2017 all the way to December, maybe late November 2017, from anywhere from 40 to 70 cents. 40 to 70 cents is what you could have caught EOS. And then it just started going up and up. Now, of course, the reason it went up was based on a bunch of speculation on its technology that has not come through. So if you take a look at that chart, you know, it's choppy and it goes all the way as high as about 21.46 is the all-time high this year for EOS. Now, if you take a look at EOS right now, the circulating supply for EOS is 906 million. 906 million, and this wasn't even proven technology. This was based on speculation, and this 40-cent goddamn crypto went as high as $20. But now that the technology has not come to fruition, take a look at the chart now. It is going down. It's going to continue to go down. EOS sucks. Now, why do I even compare 0X or ZRX to EOS? Because, look, take a look at ZRX right now. Let's go ahead and go there right now. Now, 0X, if you take a look at it, I mean, it's only got 537 million in circulation, all right, as opposed to 908 million for EOS. Moreover, folks, this is a very low price compared to its all-time high, so it does have precedent of going as high as about $2.15 is the highest 0X has been this year. Now, 0X is not a hype. It wasn't a hype because Coinbase, one of the biggest cryptocurrency exchanges in America, if not the biggest, not only incorporated this cryptocurrency to trade, it bought an exchange called Paradex that utilized 0X's technology to trade. So the reason I'm bringing all this up is because at some point, even though the market isn't really reflecting it now, it's already a proven technology, already a proven commodity, already incorporated in Coinbase, and it's only a matter of time as the market goes up that we start seeing a trajectory very similar to EOS in relation to ZRX. And this is how I'm just telling you my analysis. I'm telling you how I feel about this. I'm not telling you all what to do. I'm just trying to tell you that this makes sense. You got to look for indicators. You got to look for things that are going to be a tail sign of a breakout or an increase or a good investment, etc. And that's how I look at 0X. And right now, I think it's good prices to get in. Right now, we already talked about the circulating supply for 0X is 537 million. Market cap is 392 million market capitalization. In the past 24 hours, 0X has gone up 1.84%. Current price for 0X is 72, almost 73 cents. And I'm telling you, that has the trajectory to do the same goddamn thing as EOS, if not better, because there's less circulation than EOS. Now, let's get to Quantum, folks, my biggest holding and the Inner Circle's biggest holdings. Now, we are waiting for this one to pop off, and the reason is, folks, is because the X86 virtual machine, which completely revolutionizes the smart contract technology that was integrated by Ethereum, needs to kind of be put out in the public. Since we have been talking, I mean, a lot of serious conversation happening in the Inner Circle, we've had a lot of programmers come out and say, hey, look, I mean, I'm glad you kicked those schmucks out. You know, I think that you're onto something when it comes to quantum ghosts, because QTUM will revolutionize the game with the x86 virtual machine. Because right now, if you take a look at Ethereum smart contract, if you were to write something in Ethereum, a smart contract in Ethereum, you have to use the program language Solidity. And the program language Solidity kind of sucks, according to all the programmers that are in the inner circle. So what they're trying to do, they are actually participating. Some of these programmers, believe it or not, we talked about it yesterday, they are participating in Quantum's hackathon. I don't know if you are familiar with this. They are going to be giving away up to $500,000 worth of Quantum to encourage developers, designers, and entrepreneurs to develop decentralized apps that would enhance or potentially create even bigger and better things utilizing the QRC20 token that is Quantum. So, you know, there's a lot of exciting things for Quantum, and the reason these programmers like it is because once the x86, the virtual machine, goes public, you know, they're trying to be very private with it right now because they don't want to be Ethereum. Ethereum just kind of puts out shit and expects the community to find the bugs, and then they kind of, you know, kind of jury rig it or whatever the hell you say. They just kind of fix it as they go. Here in Quantum, they want to make sure that all technology works and works to the fullest potential. And that's why I like Quantum. Now, everybody can criticize that it has not popped off value-wise. But instead of criticizing that, I think everybody should consider that this is the time to purchase this in mass. Because not only are you purchasing this Quantum just because you're holding it and waiting for the damn value to go up, you're also holding it for this proof of stake. And what that means is the more Quantum you hold, the more Quantum you'll get deposited in your Quantum wallet just for holding your Quantum wallet, just for holding your Quantum in your Quantum wallet on the mainnet. Now, there are things that you can buy, folks, believe it or not, if y'all are a little concerned about staking your Quantum and concerned about having your computer on all the time. And hey, Ghost, I mean, I like the staking, but man, I mean, my computer stays on and I got a high electric bill in my state. Well, then what you can do, folks, is get a Raspberry Pi and download the Unix-based wallet, put your Raspberry Pi online, and literally have the damn thing on as its stake. Or there's things out there that are already pre-programmed to do this and give you directions if you're not technologically savvy. They're called stake boxes. Stake boxes. So, like, if you wanted to proof, you know, of stake on your Quantum, you just put all your Quantum in this Raspberry Pi, make sure it's on the internet, and let that son of a bitch run on your desk. And every time you look at that stake box, it's like, man, look at that. I'm making money. That thing right there is making me money. So that it would be pennies, literally pennies a month on what you're charging electricity so you could stake your Quantum. So I'm just trying to let everybody know, man, that that's where the true value is. That's where the true value is right now, man, is in getting the Quantum for staking the Quantum, getting the airdrops as well of QRC20 tokens that are being created as well. We got all of us that invested in Quantum got BODY dropped right into our Quantum wallets just because we were holding Quantum in our wallet. It's very simple. Now, let me continue about Quantum, because Quantum, the reason it's my biggest holding is because of the technology. Now, let's get back to the smart contract technology. This smart contract technology in the x86 virtual machine will allow programmers to go beyond the program language Solidity and be able to program blockchain applications that use the Quantum token, the Quantum blockchain, in C, in Python, and I think a couple of other program languages that make it very, very flexible for anybody who wants to create a decentralized app in the quantum blockchain. One of them in specifically is called Vivu. Now, and I'm just using this as an example, folks, because everybody wants to know why quantum is my biggest hold. And I'm telling you, it's the technology. Now, Vivu, believe it or not, utilizes smart contract technology to develop a blockchain in which content creators can be able to deliver their content utilizing the Vivu smart contract and be able to distribute it all over the world and still get paid their royalties without utilizing any kind of middleman like BMI Publishing, you know, or anything of that capacity. You, as the content creator, you can go ahead and give out all your content, and you can put in the smart contract what is going to give or what's going to make the contract or what's going to make the content viewable. Is it going to be a couple of quantum, a couple of Vivu, or whatever? And how long is that going to be? Is it 24 hours? Is it indefinite? Either way, the blockchain keeps the video in the blockchain, so there is no copyright infringement. There is no piracy. And the more it's distributed through this blockchain, the more people are going to pay to view the content. And as the content is being paid to be viewed, that money's going directly to the original content creator. I mean, it is an unbelievable blockchain. And that's just one of many decentralized apps and coins that are being created in the quantum blockchain. I mean, these guys are going way ahead and beyond. I mean, they are ahead. I mean, once these decentralized applications come out in the x86 virtual machine, written in Python, written in C, written in these other languages, it separates quantum from everybody. And that's why I'm invested in it, folks. So I hope that answers a lot of questions. So let's just go ahead and cover it right now. Quantum, QTUM, obviously a victim of the contraction in the markets today. Let's go ahead and take a look at it. Market capitalization is at 337 million market cap. The circulating supply is 88 million in circulation. In the past 24 hours, Quantum, QTUM, has gone up 2.23%. Current price for Quantum, folks, is $4.24. Now, I am continuously buying this up. I've got at least close to 1,000. And I'm going to continue to try to accumulate as much as I can because, in my opinion, I feel that quantum, because of the technology it possesses, could go the same trajectory, if not a little further, than Ethereum. Now, Ethereum utilizes smart contract technology that isn't half of the potential of quantum. And once QTUM releases for developers the opportunity for individuals to create their own apps here in the next month on the x86 virtual machine, I think that people better start recognizing that quantum's going to go all the way up. That's all I'm saying. I mean, remember, the highest Ethereum, ETH, went was, what is it, 1,200, 1,000, 1,100? I mean, I think that the trajectory for quantum, and remember, we have a circulating supply for Ethereum over 100 million. There's over 100 million. And we have 88 million in circulation for quantum right now. And it's a proof of stake as opposed to a proof of work for Ethereum. So anyway, that's why I like it. And I am more than willing to hold, and we're seeing fucking low prices like this. I am willing to buy. The more you buy, the more you stake, man. I'm telling you, the more you buy, the more you stake. There's guys in there that got like 5,000 quantum, and they're getting staked every like 10 days. So I'm just saying, it's better than, you know, any kind of savings account, any kind of 401k, any kind of goddamn financial instrument that you can find out here in the traditional investment community in Wall Street and banking institutions in America. Anyway, folks, we are now in the second hour of the True Capitalist Radio broadcast on this Baller Friday. I can't believe it. We're already down with an hour. I am your host, the man they call Ghost. And once again, folks, I want to thank you all very much for tuning in with me. Before we get started on anything else, I'd like to remind everybody to please spread this show link around like wildfire and let everybody you know across the internet and throughout the world, let everybody you know and tell them, please, I mean, spread this link around like wildfire. The True Capitalist Radio is in effect and in the house, and we are live every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 6:30 p.m. Central Standard Texas Time, right here on the official website of the True Capitalist Radio broadcast. And I love being independent now. Ghost.report. All right, that's all you got to type in your browser. Add that to your bookmarks. Add that to your favorites. Ghost.report. That is the official website of the True Capitalist Radio broadcast, man. Let everybody you know. Let them all know throughout the world. Anyway, now that we've gotten through quantum, let me get to 42 coin, okay? Now, the reason I'm getting to 42 coin is because as we are seeing an increase in the markets, we're seeing an increase in 42 coin. And once again, folks, I mean, I am trying to accumulate as much as I can of 42 because I and the inner circle want the whole fucking coin. We want the coin. We want most of it. We want to be able to make judgment calls about it and, you know, maybe force a hard fork or something. I mean, who knows? Who knows? I don't know. But anyway, let's go ahead and take a look at it. 42 coin. Market capitalization is almost $1 million. Current circulating supply for 42 coin is 42. In the past 24 hours, 42 coin has gone up 9.23%. Current price for 42 coin, folks, is $23,276.90 per 42 coin. And I'm telling you, that's why I want the fucking whole score of 42. Because, man, if the inner circle, and if not just the inner circle, you guys, the True Capitalist Army, I mean, if we get enough of this majority, we can just say, hey, look, it's our coin now. Let's do a hard fork, all right? Let's do something, all right? Let's do something. Let's do a hard fork going on. I'm just saying. Anyway, folks, let's go ahead and move on to the stocks portion of the broadcast. Since I am taking a little bit of time here, let's go ahead and talk stocks. Now, once again, the dovish Fed being ambiguous whether or not they're going to raise the interest rates or not, man, we shall see. As you can tell here in Wall Street, they think that they're not going to raise them. I mean, according to the gains that we saw today in the stock market, I mean, Wall Street thinks that that Jerome Powell is not going to raise these interest rates, man. So we shall see, all right? Dow Jones Industrial is up, folks, 133.37 points, a percentage increase of 0.52%, closing out the Dow Jones Industrial at 25,790.35 points for the Dow Jones Industrial. Folks, for the entire year, I told you that I was bullish on the stock market in 2018. Didn't I say it? And folks, for the year right now, the Dow Jones has gone up. For the entire year, for the past 52 weeks, it has gone up 18.39% as a whole indice. Unbelievable. Let's get to the S&P 500. It is also up today 17.71 points. A percentage increase of 0.62%, closing out the S&P at 2,874.69 points for the S&P 500. And folks, the S&P for the year is up 17.86%. I told you I was bullish. I told you. Let's get to the NASDAQ. The NASDAQ is also up 67.52 points. A percentage increase of 0.86%, closing out the NASDAQ at 7,945.98 points for the NASDAQ composite. And folks, the NASDAQ for the year has gone up a whopping 26.70% for the entire year. I told you, I told you, baby. I told you I was bullish on the stock market for 2018. I don't know about thereafter, though. I don't know about that thereafter, all right? So we shall see what happens in 2019. A lot of things could happen. Let's go ahead and get to energy, folks. All right, now that we're seeing a lower dollar, we should see an increase in commodities all around, right? And the only way we would see anything negative in commodities if the investors in the commodities market think that there's a surplus in the commodity for that day. So let's go ahead and take a look at energy. Energy is obviously up. I mean, if the dollar's down, it's obviously up here. Let's go ahead and take a look at it. WTI sweet crude is up 89 cents. A percentage increase of 1.31%, closing out, or I should say the current price for WTI sweet crude, $68.72 per barrel of WTI sweet crude. We've got Brent crude also up today, folks, $1.09, $1.09, a percentage increase of 1.46%, closing out Brent crude, or I should say current price, $75.82 per barrel of Brent crude oil. Gasoline is also up 0.91%. Heating oil is up 1.23%, and natural gas, for some reason, it's down 1.59%. Jesus Christ. Must be a lot of natural gas going on there. A lot of natural gas there, boy. Anyway, let's get to the metals, shall we? The metals! Let's get to the goddamn metals. Now, once again, we saw a fall in the dollar. What did I always say about metals and the dollar? When you see the dollar going and decreasing in value, you should see metals going up, folks. And that's exactly what's happening here. Let's take a look at it. Gold, it is up today, $19.30 increase. Jesus Christ. A percentage increase of 1.62%, closing out gold at $1,213.30 per troy ounce of gold. Silver, also up today, folks, 26 cents, a percentage increase of 1.77%, closing out silver at $14.90 per troy ounce of silver. We've also got copper up today, folks, 1.70%. We've got platinum also up, 1.77% increase for platinum. What did I tell you, man? You see a decrease in the dollar, you're going to see an increase in commodities unless the commodity brokers think that there's a surplus. Let's take a look at agriculture. Grains, corn is up 0.48%. Wheat is down 0.97%. Oats is down 1.03%. We've got rough rice down 0.05%. Soybean up 0.15%. Soybean oil up 0.42%. And canola is up 0.10%. Let's go ahead and get to the soft, shall we? We've got cocoa, the base for chocolate. It is up 1.16%. Once again, we're probably seeing an increase in cocoa because cocoa is mostly made in Africa. And we all know what's going on in Africa. Africa. What's going on in Africa, folks, is Ebola. Ebola. And I think that's why we're seeing an increase in cocoa. Let's take a look at coffee. Now, look, your guess is as good as mine on what the hell's going on with coffee, folks. I think this has maybe a little bit to do with the hurricane that's going on in Hawaii because Hawaii produces a little bit of coffee. I could be mistaken. I have no idea. But coffee is up 3.15% increase on the day. I mean, Jesus Christ. Let's take a look at sugar. Sugar is up 1.09% increase. Orange juice is up 0.13%. Cotton is up 0.17%. Lumber is up 0.31%. Rubber is down 0.17%. I guess nobody's using prophylactics out here. Let's go ahead. Ethanol is up 1.47%. Let's get to livestock, shall we? Live cattle is down 1.86% decrease. Cattle feeder is down 1.39%. And, folks, lean hogs is up 1.17% on the day. And that, my friends, is the markets for your ass, all right? I want to give everybody a happy Baller Friday, and I hope everybody out there is going to have a decent weekend. Next weekend is Labor Day, so that'll be interesting. But even though it's Labor Day, folks, I will still be broadcasting on Monday. So either way, folks, not this weekend, the next weekend. It's not Labor Day weekend this weekend. Next weekend is, all right, just in case you people are getting discombobulated. Now, let me go ahead and get a drink of cola out here, and I want to say happy Baller Friday to everybody who's listening, all the capitalists throughout the world. This Baller Friday, for all you folks that are just tuning in and don't know what the hell Baller Friday is, it's that day of the week that us capitalists look back upon the week's labor, upon the week's wages, upon the week's blood, sweat, and tears, and we bask. We bask in our success. That's what we do on Baller Friday, baby. All right? Anyway, cheers to you out there, man. I hope you're having a good Baller Friday. I know I am. Cheers, baby. Cheers. Pretty good stuff, man. And by the way, I mean, what are we, 53 days sober now, some shit? 53, 54. I mean, you know what? I'm going to be honest with you folks, okay? I really do want to drink beer, okay? But the problem is that I feel so good internally. You know, I mean, I feel great that I don't want to go back and start guzzling down beers and then be praying to the porcelain god, puking up all kinds of crap the next morning. So I'm done with that. I'm tired of it, and I'm going to try to stay alcohol-free for as long as I possibly can. But with that being said, folks, let's just go ahead and get right into the nitty-gritty of the straight political dope part of the broadcast. Let's talk a little bit about the president. Now, the president just gave a speech at a GOP fundraiser in Ohio. Obviously, that was to celebrate the official win of Troy Balderson. I'm glad that he won, but it still does not negate the fact that Troy Balderson barely fucking won because, well, let's be honest, folks. I mean, you take a look at the numbers in this district. Only 40% of Republicans went out and voted in this fucking district, whereas 90% of registered Democrats went out and voted. And yet, I mean, this guy still barely hung on by the skin of his teeth. Now, I know that's a decent precedent, but I don't like that. I don't like that Republicans aren't going out there and voting. I mean, do you understand what's at stake here, people? What's at stake is the president's impeachment, and that's what they're calling for right now, you dumbasses. Have you heard the media? They are calling for the president's impeachment because of the Michael Cohen plea deal and the Paul Manafort verdict. And I think that's pure malarkey. Because, folks, first of all, the president has done nothing to be impeached. That's why the party leaders and people that are within the Democratic Party that are bigwigs are scoffing at the idea of even suggesting that they should impeach Trump. They're scoffing at the idea. They're like, no, just let's not talk about that now. And the reason is because they are afraid that all this impeachment talk could galvanize the right wing to go out to the polls and once again put in more Republicans so we can have a true Republican majority. And this way Donald Trump's campaign promises in 2016 can come to fruition without any resistance from the Democrats and especially from these goddamn establishment Republican jerk-offs that have been no friends to us and no friends to the president. I tell you that right damn now. Now, as you know, folks, Michael Cohen, who used to be a personal attorney to the president, and lest we forget, folks, I mean, the president's a billionaire, okay? I mean, Michael Cohen was one of, like, maybe hundreds of lawyers that the president has to hire so that they can go through and go over and comb every goddamn aspect of his financial and personal life just so that, you know, he could stay out of problems. Because, believe me, more money, more problems. Just ask the schmucks that left the inner circle. They'll tell you that. More money, more problems. Now, Michael Cohen, folks, this is a really weird situation because what the Southern District of New York is trying to do is they're trying to use the Michael Cohen case to try to kind of pry out any information that they can out of the president's personal life. And what's happening, folks, is they have now given, believe it or not, immunity to two people as it relates to this Michael Cohen case in the Southern District of New York. They have given immunity to the National Enquirer publisher, David Pecker. I'm not kidding, that's his name. David Pecker. And he is given immunity in the Michael Cohen case. Another person who has been given immunity, the former CFO, Chief Financial Officer of the Trump Organization, Alan Weisselberg. He's also granted immunity. Now, look, I'm not trying to be an alt-righter. I'm not trying to be a white nationalist or anything. But it seems to me that every name that I'm reading here in relation to this Michael Cohen case and people that are flipping and giving immunity, is it me or are they all Jewish? I don't know. I'm just saying. I don't care. I'm just asking. I just like finding patterns. I found a pattern there. That's all. I don't know what the hell that's supposed to mean. But either way, folks, the Southern District of New York is going to use whatever it takes to try to sling the president's name in the mud, because there is no case here. There is no case. What is the case? What the hell's the goddamn case do they have? I mean, honestly, what are they at? He paid a couple of bimbos to keep their mouths shut, for Christ's sake? Hey, folks, did you hear the former head of the CDC under Obama was just taken into custody today for allegedly forcibly touching and sex abuse and harassment and all kinds of crap. I mean, a true Me Too scumbag. And here we are, we're having a problem because the president used his own money, who, you know, were paying off broads who mutually understood and were okay with the rendezvous itself. These were mutually agreed situations. I mean, I find it funny that the media is trying to utilize the word impeachment in relation to both of these cases, and there's a big nothing burger. It's nothing. It's a nothing burger. I mean, even Alan Dershowitz, the Harvard law professor, has come out, and this is somebody who voted for Hillary Clinton. He's saying that this is a nothing case, and there's a lot of dangerous precedent being put forth because of this. Because they're trying to suggest that there was election laws that it may have been broken in relation to the payments of these broads. There's no election laws. And that's what Alan Dershowitz said. It's his own money. I mean, there's nothing illegal here. There's nothing illegal. And even if there was election laws that were broken, election laws are treated as the equivalent of jaywalking. They're typically given a big fine that they have to pay. There is no jail time for any kind of election law breaking. And this would make it unprecedented if they went down that direction. Now, I don't know what kind of immunity they gave the publisher of National Enquirer. I mean, what is he going to say? What, that Trump knew about some stories that we planted, or Trump knew about this or that? I mean, who gives a shit? Look at the mainstream media now. Look at CNN. Look at Anderson Cooper. Look at these people on NBC, ABC. You've got George Stephanopoulos, a fucking Clinton agent. A guy who was the Karl Rove for Bill Clinton during his first run for president on the Sunday morning shows, for Christ's sake. And you mean to tell me that, now there's no connection to Stephanopoulos and the Clintons, even though this fucking asshole is doing his bidding, doing Clinton's bidding every goddamn Sunday morning? I mean, what is this National Enquirer guy getting immunity for? It doesn't even make any sense. And not to mention, what is the CFO of Trump Organization going to do? What is he going to do? What is he going to try to bean count? I mean, they're going to try to get him on some kind of technicality? Are they going to try to get him that, well, you know, you actually claim this as a deduction when at the time it really isn't a deduction. So we got to go ahead and prosecute this. Folks, lest we all forget that this whole Robert Mueller special counsel was started because of a supposed Russia-Trump collusion. That's where all this legality came from. That's where all this abuse of the judicial system came from. It came from this idea that there was a Russia-Trump collusion situation. There hasn't been one shred of evidence at all that there was even such a thing. As a matter of fact, it's been self-admitted by Hillary Rotten Clinton that she and the Democrats paid for the Russian dossier, which was paid to who? Fusion GPS. Fusion GPS utilized a Russian assets, I should say, to obtain this bogus information that's in this Russian dossier. And here you have Hillary Clinton saying, yeah, I paid for it. How is that not collusion? Does anybody not see that our justice system is not a justice system? Whenever it's Democrats committing crimes, it seems that the FBI and the DOJ seem to be willingly incompetent or not necessarily as aggressive in prosecuting when it comes to Democrats. Whatever happened to the cases against Debbie Wasserman Schultz? Whatever happened to the Anwan brothers? I mean, whatever happened to the Clinton email case, for Christ's sake? I mean, lest we forget, folks, that Clinton had a email server hidden in a closet so that she could go outside the safety of the government servers of the Secretary of State. Now, why would she do that? She was doing that to go beyond the Freedom of Information Act so she can't be traced. And let's be honest, folks. I mean, James Comey admitted that there was private and classified information that was compromised in that goddamn email server by foreign entities. That's truly why Hillary Clinton had that goddamn server hidden and purposely put classified information there, because, let's be honest, she was getting paid, her husband was getting paid by the Clinton Foundation. And you make a so-called bogey payment of $5 million or $10 million to see your stupid old man speak. And what do you have to do in return? Well, you put some private information on a vulnerable server that gives Hillary Clinton plausible deniability. Remember, you remember what they defined that plausible deniability? Remember what they did? Careless and unsophisticated. That's all it was. I mean, Hillary Clinton was careless and unsophisticated. That's why she put classified information on a damn email server, so we can't prosecute her. Sorry. I mean, folks, there is a double standard, and I'm glad the president has the stress resilience and the balls to stand up to it. I'm not even kidding around. I mean, Robert Mueller and his deep state judicial goons went from Russia Trump to squeezing anybody who's close to Trump with the threat of 10 to 15 to life in prison. Or you can say whatever the prosecution wants you to say, and then everything will be all right. I mean, this is a fucking witch hunt, and I cannot believe that it's happening in America. These assholes in the Department of Justice and the FBI are literally jeopardizing the integrity of our government by doing this shit. And let me tell you something, folks. Former CIA head Michael Hayden has warned here today. This is the former CIA head, Michael Hayden. He's told everybody via the media to forget about impeaching Trump, that impeaching Trump would be a bad idea. A bad idea. He says that at least a third of people will believe that Trump was taken out by some deep state or some kind of internal coup within the government, and that could jeopardize the integrity of the government itself. This is Michael Hayden, the ex-CIA head, telling, and this is not even a fucking fan of Trump. This guy hates Trump. And he's saying, look, I don't know if we should try to impeach Trump here because we could be jeopardizing the very integrity of our goddamn country by doing this. This is Michael Hayden, man. And what did Trump say yesterday when he was being interviewed by Fox? He said, and I didn't I say this? Didn't I say this on the last show? I said that if Trump is impeached, you better prepare yourself for a stock crash. You better prepare your goddamn self for a stock crash, folks. And I'm glad he said it. I'm glad he said it because it's the truth. That's exactly what will happen. Why do you think that we are at levels at almost 26,000 points in the Dow Jones Industrial? It's been pure Trump economy. That's why. Jesus Christ, man. I hope that some of you understand what I'm talking about here. And then, you know, on top of all this corruption of criminality of the justice system, we've got the Attorney General, you know, this absentee Attorney General. And let me tell you something, Attorney General Jeff Sessions, what a snake. What a piece of garbage this guy is. And you know what's really sad? It underscores how soulless these politicians are. Because look at how shameless Jeff Sessions is. Jeff Sessions was one of the first supporters that was a part of the Republican Party of Donald Trump. And that's why Donald Trump appreciated that. And that's why he nominated him to be the Attorney General of the Department of Justice. But it seems to me that either somebody has something on Sessions, which I mean, even if they did, you're an old man, Sessions. Who gives a shit? Or he was establishment swamp trash all along. And it's starting to, you know, kind of suggest to me that Jeff Sessions has always been swamp trash. And the first thing that Sessions did as Attorney General was recuse himself from this Russia Trump nonsense. And he did that on purpose, because look at him now. He can claim that, oh, I can't do anything because I recuse myself because I happened to shake the hand of the Russian ambassador at a party filled with foreign ambassadors, so I gotta recuse myself. What a joke. And what's bad, I'm gonna tell you what's bad about this, folks, that if the president fires Jeff Sessions, who the hell is going to replace Jeff Sessions? None other than Rod Rosenstein, a bigger, corrupt, disgusting, sniveling, bureaucratic scumbag. And let's say that Donald Trump wants to nominate a new attorney general. He can't do it right now because the Democrats are going to obstruct, and obviously the establishment trash that is down with Jeff Sessions are going to obstruct. So that's why the midterms in 2018 is so important. It's not only to pass the 2016 campaign promises that Donald Trump promised, it is to continue to clean the damn swamp. Fire Jeff Sessions. And let me tell you, if the Republicans sweep this goddamn midterm, we're going to be able to put anybody in the Attorney General's office that has balls to investigate the corruption that was the Russia-Trump investigation. You understand that this is what this is all about. You understand that in 2018, if we elect Republicans, that Donald Trump will be able to put in a competent attorney general that isn't afraid to investigate Robert Mueller, that isn't afraid to investigate the FBI and the Department of Justice, that is going to clean house and expose the corruption and criminality of the very foundations of our government. But folks, that's what makes this 2018 election so important. And that's why we have to take things serious. We can't be 30-something-year-old losers that get ugly black chicks and deaf chicks pregnant and use that as an excuse to be a fucking pathetic, mediocre meme poster. Folks, we got to take things serious, because if you don't, whatever life that you think that you're having right now, whatever raise that you think that you're having right now, whatever job increase, whatever hierarchy move that you think that you have right now, it's going to go away, and it's going to go away fast. Because the Democrats have already said that if they take power, they're going to want to reverse those tax cuts. They're going to want to raise taxes. They're going to want to implement Obamacare again. And folks, we've had enough of this shit. I had enough of Obama. Obama almost destroyed the entire fucking country, you morons! We don't need another Obama, you fucking idiots! I mean, folks, you idiots that still support Obama, how do you explain that prior to Obama, we only had, as a country, $10 trillion in debt? That's all we had in debt before Obama was $10 trillion in debt. Then Obama came along, and guess what? We're now in $21 trillion in debt. He accumulated more debt than all presidents before Obama combined. You stupid, dumb college kids that are out here with all this college debt. You love Obama, yet he was the one that nationalized the student debt program to force you to pay on your student debt for life. And folks, prior to Obama, the student debt on a national level was only $450 billion before Obama. That's it. That's all student debt was. From all the time before Obama, the accumulated student college debt was $450 billion. You know what it was after Obama left? $1.5 trillion! $1.5 trillion! How can you compute that? How can you justify that? How can you look at that and say,
yeah, he was a good president. He was a very nice guy. Very good president.
You people are idiots! You can't justify it! That's why you continue on with rhetorical lies with no substance, and that's the basis of leftism, that's the basis of liberalism, and that's the basis of the Democrats itself. And I'm telling you, folks, is this justice in America? Are we in a banana republic? Is this a kangaroo justice system? I'm not kidding around, folks. This is horrible. And I don't care what side of the political spectrum you're on. I mean, you need to get your head out of your partisan asses and realize that this jeopardizes the very integrity of our institution of justice. And no one's given a flying crap. Robert Mueller and his special counsel have been given way too much power. And they were supposed to investigate a fucking supposed Russia-Trump connection. And now they're utilizing this to take down anybody. Anybody close to Trump. Anybody who is influential that once worked for Trump. Or had a partnership with Trump. Or was a lawyer for Trump. Folks, this is a gross abuse of justice. This is a gross abuse of justice. And I can't believe America's just sitting by allowing Robert Mueller to make a fucking mockery of our country. To make a mockery of our justice system. He's making an utter mockery of it. Give me a break. And I feel bad for Paul Manafort out here, man. Free Paul Manafort while we're out here, man. Free Paul Manafort. Son of a bitch, man. His whole crime was just getting the delegates for Donald Trump in the GOP convention. That's what Paul Manafort's crime was. Getting the GOP delegates to nominate Donald Trump as their presidential candidate. And because of that, Robert Mueller decided to target Paul Manafort for crap that he did over a decade ago. And it's a joke. It's an utter joke. The guy who they had testify against Paul Manafort, this guy Rick Gates, was the true fucking criminal in this whole goddamn scheme that they tried to throw against Manafort. He was the scumbag that was embezzling. He was the scumbag that was out here hiding money from the IRS, and yet they gave Gates immunity. So he could testify against Manafort so that he could send Manafort to prison. I mean, this is fucked up, man. I cannot believe people aren't getting more upset about this. But, you know, I mean, I just kicked out a bunch of dudes that were from the inner circle that are in their mid-30s that are still acting like they're fucking 15 years old, for Christ's sake. So, then again, I guess it doesn't surprise me that no one's giving a shit. But that's why I continue to do this broadcast. To give you the straight political dope to let y'all know that this fucking criminality, this corruption is happening. It is happening. Anyway, the president here recently went at Jeff Sessions, trying to tell him, come on, Jeff, I mean, I can't believe that you have lost control of the Department of Justice. And he has. He has lost control of the Department of Justice. I mean, he's letting the Department of Justice go rogue at every fucking level. And then the fucking asshole Jeff Sessions has the audacity to tweet back, or respond back, I should say, to the president's tweets and say, and I'm paraphrasing, Sessions responds by saying that the Justice Department, quote, won't be swayed by political influence. And I'm glad that the president responded back with, and I quote, come on, Jeff. Come on, Jeff. I mean, you know, the president lists McCabe, Strzok, Orr, his wife. I mean, he just started listing all these people that are corrupt and criminal within his own Department of Justice that Jeff Sessions refused to do anything about, man. What a fucking swamp snake in the fucking grass Jeff Sessions is. And I can't believe that Jeff Sessions can go into his mirror and look at his fucking 5'3" ugly face in the mirror every day, man. Jesus Christ. I mean, the ultimate betrayal, folks. Jeff Sessions right here. Ultimate betrayal. And I'm glad the president responded. Come on, Jeff. Are you kidding me? Political influence? Your whole goddamn Department of Justice is criminally corrupt. Do something about it, you fucking dickless idiot. Do something about the corruption, Jeff Sessions, you fucking ballless Chahuti jawboner. Fuck. Need something to drink after all that shit, because you make me sick. Anyway, folks, look. I don't know about you, but it just pisses me off every time I see Jeff Sessions' little stupid, squirrely little face. Whenever he goes to these little speeches and he's like, hi, I'm Jeff Sessions, and I'm doing this because I'm for the law, and I want to tell everybody right now that I sound like a very pious old Southern man, and that's how I've been able to get through the Washington, D.C. swamp and calmly bend everybody over and give them a nice, good squeal like a pig boy, Alabama style, and they never see me coming because I'm Jeff Sessions. A smiley little squirrely little man, half pint little son of a bitch. And by the way, did I show you that I've got an Oriental granddaughter? Yeah, I got an Asian granddaughter. So you can't call me racist. Just fuck you, Jeff Sessions. Straight up, man. What a piece of crap. What a soulless piece of garbage. Soulless, soulless piece of garbage. Anyway, I'm going to move on to another subject matter. I don't even want to talk about the fucking swamp, Robert Mueller's abuse of a fucking justice, the freaking Jeff Sessions' lack of justice, the corruption of our swamp. I don't even want to talk about it, but all I can say is pray for Donald Trump. Pray that he has the strength, the resilience, and the energy to continue going forward, because, I mean, this is a lot. This is a lot to take for anybody, and I'm surprised the man can do it, and I'm still pulling for him. I'm still pulling for him, man. Anyway, let's move on to another subject. Did y'all hear that big tech firms, Facebook, Google, and Twitter, have held a secret meeting to discuss a, quote, strategy for the midterms? Now, what the hell does that mean? And why the hell are these big supposed competitors in Silicon Valley now colluding? This is a collusion right here. Why the hell do they need a secret meeting amongst each other when they are supposedly in competition with one another? I mean, what is the strategy? I mean, every one of their strategies has been to censor, has been to ban, and yet anyone on their social network who is a degenerate, a pedophile, or a liberal, they can have free reins on that son of a bitch. You know what I mean? Oh, I'm not joking. I mean, have you seen YouTube? I mean, if you say anything pro-Trump, you say anything right-wing, as a matter of fact, if you say anything that is deemed not status quo in YouTube, you are not only going to be demonetized, you're going to be banned. You're not going to be able to broadcast on their damn platform, you know? And what I find ironic is that they're banning people because of supposed non-status quo type political stances, but yet they keep degenerates like that one bastard that I gabbed about, who was, and folks, I hate to rehash this, but man, it bears repeating, who posted a video of him tasting the semen of a vegan man and a meat-eating man to see if, quote, Jesus Christ, to see if vegans taste different. And yet, that is completely okay. And believe it or not, that wasn't even age-restricted. That was not age-restricted on YouTube. Not to mention, folks, you've got degenerates like that in-real-life streamer Ice Poseidon. Now, I hate to bring up this guy, but how in the hell is YouTube allowing this, like, 22, 23-year-old degenerate continue to have a live stream on their goddamn network when they will not allow somebody who has a right-wing perspective of politics? I mean, this Ice Poseidon underscores the degeneracy of young people that are over the age of 21 at this point. This guy is an autistic, ridiculous, tarred basket case. He's got nothing but a bunch of autistic, tarred basket cases as his fucking fan base. And literally, the only reason anybody watches him is just in case his tarred fan base decides to either stream snipe him and put him in a precarious situation or swat him. Not to mention, this guy has gone full-fledged degenerate trying to, you know, utilize his live stream to justify his sexual perversions and degeneracy. And yet, if you take a look at his demographic audience, you'll find that the majority of people that are watching Ice Poseidon are kids, are teenage kids. And yet they allow this stupid piece of trash to continue to make $40,000, $50,000 a month. I'm not joking, folks. That's how much Ice Poseidon makes a month. $40,000 or $50,000 a month because he's an absolute, utter, degenerate retard. And because he's willing to do degenerate, retard type of activity, they allow him to be on the broadcast. They allow him to be on YouTube. And I think it's ridiculous. I think it's ridiculous. I mean, you know, these people are hypocrites. They're utter hypocrites. And as far as I'm concerned, folks, a lot of people on the internet need to take their heads out of their ass, and they need to close their accounts on Facebook, close their accounts on Twitter. Google is a completely different story because they've got your fucking operating system on your phone and all kinds of shit. But either way, try to do as limited business as you can with these people because they don't deserve to be the oligarchs of the internet. They don't deserve it. As you can see, as soon as they had billions of people in their social media network, they decided to become the speech police. They decided to become the moral police. And that's why everywhere you look on those social networks, it's pure degenerates, pedophiles, and liberals. I mean, take a look at all the people who have been busted. Most recent one was that idiot from The Adventures of the Galaxy, or whatever that fucking guy's name was, that Dunn guy, right? They went through his tweets. This guy bragged about and laughed about and joked about child rape and child molestation, etc. And, you know, that was just supposed to be completely okay. You know, they just, no problem with that. There's no problem with the 9-year-old drag queen who's flaunting his ass on YouTube, and there's no problem. James Gunn is his name. Thank you. There's no problem with these people sexualizing children. There is no problem with sexual perversion. There is no problem with any of this stuff. But dare you Dare you go against the leftist liberal status quo of these faggots at Google, these faggots at Facebook, and these faggots at Twitter? Oh, God, you're going to be banned. You're going to be ostracized. You're not going to be able to do shit when it comes to Silicon Valley. Well, you know what? Fuck Silicon Valley. All right, fuck Silicon Valley. That's why I'm independent and I got my own website. That's why I'm down with an independent social media company, because I'm not going to sit here and allow these stupid corporate fucking edifices to sell my fucking self out. They're sitting here. They own your content. You know, Facebook owns your content. Twitter owns your content. And yet you people are out there, you're spreading your lives, you're showing your pictures, you're showing this for nothing. For nothing. For nothing. You're giving them demographic and psychographic analysis, which people would have paid lots of money for back in the 90s and 80s. You're giving it to them for nothing. That's why I'm saying, you people in this selfie generation, you need to realize that no matter how many friends you have on your social media, no matter how many likes that you have on your posts, it's just a freaking click. It doesn't mean shit. All right? That is not a valid action that people actually give a crap about you. Okay? I mean, I'm not even joking. Every time I have seen these YouTubers attempt to throw some kind of an event, every time I have seen these YouTubers try to throw a birthday bash for themselves or try to hold some event, they can't get the people out there. I mean, they may have 10 million people following them. They may have 20 million people following them, but they, and I'm talking about their followers, refuse to go physically to these events. Why? Because that's a whole other commitment from these people that you're asking for. Who gives a shit if you've got 20 million followers? They don't give a shit about you. You're just one of many content creators that they're being entertained by. I mean, give me a break. They're not going to go out and fucking meet you. I mean, the only people that are going to go out and meet you, if you happen to be an e-celeb, are the fucking sick fuckers that are going to want a piece of your hair and, oh man, can I have a piece of your shirt, dude? You're, oh man, I'm so obsessed with you, dude. You're so fucking so cool, dude. These are the only people that are going to come up to you, man, when you're a fucking internet's e-celeb. I mean, why the hell do you think I've never came out to become some fucking e-celeb out here? I don't want to be one. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to be one. I mean, you think I want a bunch of autistic bronies coming up to me and saying, hey, Ghost, how you doing, man? Can I have an autograph? My little pony. Do you think I want the fucking kind of dumb fucking autistic trolls that come up to Ice Poseidon and make a fool out of him every time that they come up to him? You would think I want to do that? I'm not going to do that. I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that shit. I mean, seriously, man. I mean, why? For what? I mean, look at what's happening to Donald Trump. Look at what's happening to Donald Trump. You think I want something like that? Fuck no, man. I ain't doing that crap. That's why I'm just sticking here on this broadcast, giving people financial, crypto, stock information, and giving them the straight political dope, man. That's all I'm going to do. I'm not going to sit here and try to be some e-celeb. And by the way, even if you are an e-celeb, did you see how easy they're able to take you out? I mean, look at what they did to Alex Jones, man. They banned him from every social media, and he's completely erased. I don't even hear from him anymore. It's like he was never around, and that's pretty scary. I mean, they erased Alex Jones off of the goddamn internet. I mean, they erased him so bad that they banned him from LinkedIn. He never even had a fucking LinkedIn profile. But now if the schmuck loses all his money at InfoWars and, my filters! He's not going to even be able to put up a fucking resume on LinkedIn so he can get a job. So that's why I'm saying, you know, these big tech firms, Facebook, Google, and Twitter, having this fucking secret meeting, that doesn't spell good. It spells collusion. And they're discussing the midterms. So what do they plan on doing? They've already banned all opposition to the left on their goddamn social media. What are they discussing? Are they discussing how to sway the folks that are on their social media, a certain political persuasion? Are they discussing how to coerce their own members? I mean, this is seriously something to be discussing here. I mean, lest we forget, there are these people, these entities, I should say, Facebook, Google, and Twitter, this is at least 4 or 5 billion people that they have under their direct control, and they can communicate with them at an instant. I mean, this is power. This is power that Facebook, Google, and Twitter have. And you see, that's what I keep telling everybody out here who's not taking the 2018 midterm serious. You see, back in 2016, many of us were on Twitter. Many of us were on Facebook, were on Google, were on Instagram, and all the social medias. And we were able to make an impact because we put the information right in the faces of Mr. and Mrs. Joe Sixpack in those social medias. We put it in article form, in meme form, etc. But now they have completely eliminated us all. They have banned us all, and now they have an echo chamber of leftism in their goddamn social media networks. We don't have that type of impact anymore, folks. And these assholes at Facebook, Google, and Twitter made sure of that. That's why I try to encourage each and every one of you that are listening, man, spread this show link around like wildfire. Because, folks, if you don't, no one else is. And I'm telling you, man, we need it. We need as many independent voices as possible. Because I'm telling you, man, if you try to be anything on these social media accounts, they're going to ban you. And let me tell you, these people that follow you on social media, they ain't going to follow you to your own website. You know what I mean? These people that are following you on Facebook and on Twitter and on Google, when they ban you, those millions of people that you had following you, they ain't going to follow you to your place. I mean, you know, ask PewDiePie. Ask PewDiePie when he tried to make PewTube, how successful he was trying to do that shit. He wasn't. That's because people are idiots. Once they get a hold of something and they get into some kind of a goddamn, like a routine when it comes to not just social media, but it also applies to gaming. They don't want to leave. You know, Kevin O'Leary, the guy from Shark Tank, I saw him in an interview said that one of his biggest losses recently was a few million dollars into a gaming company in which he thought that he was going to create a gaming company that provided all kinds of gameplay, all kinds of games in this network, and nobody wanted to fucking join it, and it was a loss. And one of the things that Kevin O'Leary found out was that the gaming community, they don't like to buy a bunch of games. They don't like to play a bunch of games. They usually have two or three games that they like to play, and they like to play them often, and that's it. That's typical of most gamers. And hence, that's typical of most people that patronize social media as well. I mean, most people that are Facebook people. They don't want to go on Twitter. Most people that are Twitter people aren't Facebook people. They don't want to go on Facebook. Most people that are Instagram people hate both Facebook and Twitter. I mean, etc. I mean, people are fucking idiots, and they're very easy to get on a routine. That's why you have the big tech firms that you can count on one hand. I mean, you would think that we have the World Wide Web, that we would have other developers develop new things. But folks, these people have the billions of members. And it took a long time. It took a good 10 years for many of these goddamn social media companies to get these billions of members, and now that they have control of that many people in a community, that gives them power that is the equivalent to the nation state. And that's why these idiot Silicon Valley oligarchs think that they can collude, have a secret meeting, and somehow sway the election. And I hope the president says something about these fucking tech firms having a big meeting to discuss a strategy for the midterms. Because I think that should be investigated as far as I'm concerned. But, you know, what are we going to do, right? What are we going to do? I just kicked out, you know, and let me tell you, I hate to keep bringing up these guys I kicked out, but, you know, I mean, I feel bad. I feel bad because these guys made like tens of thousands of dollars in crypto, okay? They made tens of thousands of dollars in crypto, and instead of being like, man, I got tens of thousands, let me make that, let me flip it, let me make it more, let me do this, let me do that. Instead, idle hands, the devil's playground, folks. And as a result, you make bad decisions. And that's why most people, if you want my opinion, don't want to make too many decisions. That's why you have Facebook, Google, Twitter, Instagram controlling the social media arena. Because most people don't want to try new things. Most people are like, hey, I like it. No, I don't want to try it. I like this. You know, I'm okay with this. This is what I like, okay? It's what I like to do. Don't judge me. I like to do this. Fucking morons.
I like to post memes of, like, you know, 30-year-old boomer in a little monster can. And, yeah, I like to do it. I don't care if I'm 30-something years old, dude. I don't care if I have a half-black kid or a half-deaf kid coming. I don't care, dude. This is what I do. This is what I do for blowing off steam. This is what I do for fun. This is what I do to enhance my my self-esteem, which is lacking, you know?
This is why, you know, we have a handful of social media. That's it. I mean, this is that mentality. That's why we only have a handful of social media. That mentality of like, no, I'm comfortable here. I'm just gonna stay right here. I'm okay.
No, I like this. I'm doing this now.
Let me get a drink of soda for heaven's sake. And look, I have nothing against anybody who wants to, you know, knock up a deaf chick or knock up a black chick, okay? I'm just saying, you know you're going to have problems, right? I'm just saying, right? I mean, you know you're going to have problems. I mean, you know that, you know, it's going to be a medical problem. There's going to be a racial problem. You know, I mean, that's why it bothered me that one of these guys has a half-black kid, and yet they were part of a goddamn meme gang that, you know, the stupid, dumb, monster white energy drink bullshit. And they would constantly, and I hate to keep repeating this, but I'm not joking. They would spam nigger and kike and nigger this and nigger that. They would throw racist memes up. And here this guy is, who's a part of this group, has a half-black kid. I mean, what does that mean? I mean, how are you going to take care of your half-black kid when you can't even stand up to people that are in the same chat room as you and say, hey, dude, calm down about that nigger shit, all right? I got a half-black kid, you piece of shit, all right? I got my seed in a black kid, all right? What are you talking about? My black son. Hey, let's go ahead and listen to that. Let's listen to that, for Christ's sake, all right? Put it on, engineer. Go ahead and cue up my black son. I mean, that's why I questioned it. I mean, don't you think that that's odd? You know, and not to mention, I mean, you know, aside from the whole, you know, my black son stuff, these guys are, like, infatuated with a Monster energy drink, and they're supposed to be anti-Jew. You know, these guys are supposed to hate Jew, you know, kite this and all that crap. Meanwhile, the guy who created Monster, they were Jewish. I mean, that's a Jewish company. I mean, they have the Jewish Hebrew 666 right on the can. You know what I mean? I mean, look it up if you don't believe me. I mean, you know, I'm just saying, you know, not only are they submitting to their own mediocrity, they're being hypnotized by Jewish mysticism. Anyway, hey, cue up my black son. I want to hear my black son. Let's hear it.
Man, this sucks. I got no
this
license.
This is my black son.
Well, this is your own fault, Peter. And if you want my opinion,
this is from Family Guy. Family Guy, my black son.
I'll show her. I'll just go to another bar.
We now return to Cheers.
Norm!
And Peter, yeah.
How's life in the fast lane, Mr. Peterson?
Ruffin.
I can't find the on-ramp, Woody.
He was talking to me, Norm. Quit stealing my punchlines, you fat drunk. That show stopped being funny after Kirstie Alley ate Shelley Long. Oh, man, now I can't even watch TV. What the hell am I...
I mean, as stupid as this sounds, doesn't this sound like regular everyday America now? This used to be a parody, now it's reality. Let's go ahead and hear My Black Son, please.
I'm gonna do all day. It's all right. It's okay. I don't need TV. I'll just make my own sitcom in my head. And I'll give it an upbeat 80s sitcom theme.
Here it is, My Black Son.
This time around, I'm staying at home, and things are gonna get better.
Uh-oh.
Settling in, loving my wife, but then I got that letter. My Black Son.
My Black Son.
Now each day my heart is getting...
Yeah! My Black Son!
I don't even remember sleeping with that lady, but I did. My Black Son, he's coming to stay. My Black Son, he's making each day...
Yeah!
The best that he can. Also, he's a ninja.
I'm sorry, I had to play it. I'm sorry. Anyway... We are now in the third and final hour of the True Capitalist Radio broadcast. And, of course, I am your host, the man they call Ghost. And once again, folks, I want to thank everybody for tuning in with me. Before we get started on anything else, I'd like to remind everybody to please spread it around like wildfire and let everybody you know across the internet and throughout the world, let them know that True Capitalist Radio is in effect and in the house, and we are live every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 6:30 p.m. Central Standard Time, right here on the official website of the True Capitalist Radio broadcast. And I love being independent now! Type this in your browser, add this to your bookmarks, add this to your favorites, ghost.report. All right, it's that simple, that easy. Ghost.report is the official website of the True Capitalist Radio broadcast. And of course, if you have not done so, you need to follow me on my only social media representation on the internet today, and that's on Gab, folks, all right? That's on Gab. You can follow me on there under the name Politics Ghost, all right? All one word, no underscores. Politics Ghost is the name to follow on Gab. And I want to say what's going on once again to the True Capitalist Radio chat room. What's going on? And by the way, folks, next month... This September, in September, we are going to mail a physical newsletter to everybody who is subscribed and in the chat room every month. Starting September, a physical newsletter, just in case they try to take my website down, just in case they try to take me down, baby, we could still have a certain method of communication. Do you understand what I'm saying? And not to mention, we're going to be doing all kinds of stuff in the newsletter, giving people some 411 advice on how to be a capitalist, give some people 411 advice on how to do things, not to mention Capitalist of the Month, bunch of good stuff. It'll be private amongst us all. Newsletter, very fun. Go ahead and be a part of that, man. Go ahead and join right now. We're a week away from being in September. So go ahead and all you have to do is go right now to my Gab account, Politics Ghost, all one word, no underscores, Politics Ghost, and hit the subscribe button for premium content. All right, that's all you got to do. Click the subscribe button for premium content, and once you do, private message me on Gab and let me know your Discord chat name, and I will send you a private invitation via Gab direct message to the official True Capitalist Radio chat room. It's that damn simple. Now, since I'm in the True Capitalist Radio chat room observing, what's going on, baby? Let's go ahead and give some shout-outs to the True Capitalist Radio chat room. Let's go ahead and start from the bottom. What's going on to the God of Rage, Tesla Cyberheart? We got Still Waters. We got Stagio, Sonny Man in the house. What's going on to Pepe the Frog? We've got Norm McDonald. We got Nat in the house. We got Metaform. We got Man Bear Pig. We got Hoodie in the house. Holden Capitalist. Hawk Late Milk. Hans Uberlanda. We got Bro Dog. BP in the place. Boat in the house. We got Blasphemous in the place. Billy Kosick in the house. Big Brain Shekels. What's up? We got Australian Capitalist and Aesthetic in the house. All right? Anyway, thank you guys for being a part of the True Capitalist Radio chat room. It's very much appreciated. And by the way, if you do appreciate the content that is being broadcasted on the True Capitalist Radio broadcast, if you could kindly make a few wishes into the cryptocurrency wishing well that's on ghost.report. Okay? Much props to everybody who's doing that. As a matter of fact, the folks that are, you know, putting in some crypto into the cryptocurrency wishing well, they're actually helping tremendously with the continuity of the show. And I hate to say this, folks, but we're going to probably have to go down that direction if they continue to ban us, if they continue to censor us, if they continue to demonetize us, etc. So once again, go to my Gab account right now, Politics Go. Or excuse me, not my Gab account. Go to my website. Go to my website right now, ghost.report, and click the goddamn cryptocurrency wishing well, baby, all right? Anyway, folks, let's go ahead and continue on. We're in the third hour. It's Baller Friday. I'm excited. I'm feeling good, for Christ's sake. Man, that's some watered-down cola. Let's move on to the next subject matter. Now, this is something that's very interesting here. Now, this just goes to show you that anyone that tries to virtue signal are virtue signaling because they are trying to get some kind of attention. But once that attention turns into money, that fucking virtue signaling liberalism goes out the fucking window. Let me tell you, do y'all remember that New Jersey couple who started a GoFundMe for that homeless veteran man who gave them a homeless man gave them $20 while they were stranded in the middle of the fucking ghetto somewhere so they could get some gas? Do y'all remember this shit? Well, if y'all aren't familiar, let me kind of surmise what the story was. A chick and her boyfriend, the chick's name is Kate McClure, and I want to say their names because these are grade-A liberal scumbags. Kate McClure and her boyfriend, Mark DeMarico, they were out, I don't know where the hell they were in New Jersey, but they were obviously in some place that they didn't belong. They ran out of gas, and they found this homeless man that was willing to give the last $20 that this homeless man had in his pocket so that they could go and get some gas. And of course, this couple, Kate McClure and Mark DeMarico, didn't have any money to pay him back. So instead, they decided to post a picture of them and this homeless man on their Facebooks, and then they decided, you know what? Let me go ahead and start a GoFundMe for this homeless veteran. Yeah, so Kate McClure and her boyfriend decided to start a GoFundMe account because I think that's a hell of a story, right? I mean, here you've got this couple stranded, kind of the movie Judgment Night type of a situation. They come across this homeless man. He gives them their last... He's got $20! He's homeless and he's got $20! Takes the $20, they fill up their gas tank. Of course, they exploit the situation on Facebook, and then they go and they're like, well, let's help out this guy. Let's help him out. Let's give him a GoFundMe. Folks, this GoFundMe raised around $400,000. $400,000. And guess what? They gave $200,000 to the homeless veteran. You know, they gave him 200,000, folks. Kate McClure and her boyfriend Mark are withholding the rest of the 200,000, and they're not even taking the homeless man's calls. They're just kind of putting it in their pocket and shutting their mouths. Now, folks, did you not think that that was possibly anticipated? That maybe, just maybe, right when Kate McClure and Mark DeMarco, just maybe, in my personal opinion, when they posted that picture of them and their goddamn... them and their goddamn little virtue signaling by taking this homeless veteran's man's last $20, you didn't think that they had possibly this in the back of their mind? Yeah, folks, Kate McClure and her boyfriend are now withholding $200,000 from the veteran that they put the GoFundMe, the whole GoFundMe account for. Now, I mean, folks, this is the kind of predicament that people are finding themselves in modern-day America. You think that you're so pious, you think that you're so liberal, you think that you're doing the right thing, but guess what? You're doing the right thing for your own financial gain, for your own benefit. That's all liberals do it for, folks. That's all they do it for. I mean, anybody can throw a GoFundMe now, and people are funding it like a bunch of morons. And here, Kate McClure and her boyfriend decide, hey, why don't we get a GoFundMe account? Why don't we get a GoFundMe account, and let's just go ahead and see what we can get for this guy. And let me tell you, they're withholding $200,000 from this goddamn veteran. I mean, what does that say about liberalism? What does that say about people? And not to mention, I hate to, you know, bring this up, but Kate McClure and her boyfriend are in the same demographic as the schmucks that, you know, that we had to kick out. And then, and by the way, I'm not just, I want to be also honest about this. The guys that I am very disappointed in that left and I kicked them out and shit, they're now hanging with the bronies, believe it or not. I'm not even kidding. They're now hanging with the bronies and the enemy people that they once criticized. So I just want that to just throw that in your head as well, folks, that these guys that were, you know, they made tens of thousands of dollars, they're now hanging out with the bronies, for Christ's sake. Jesus Christ. And I hear that the bronies out there are pissed off because I literally kicked the shit out of them out of my goddamn chat room like the disgusting pieces of pornographic garbage that they were. And by the way, if you're a brony and you're still listening to me, you're a fucking waste of life. All right? You're a waste of life. Jesus Christ. Yeah, and I hear that, you know, the brony network over here is out here.
I'm going to tell you about the future of this and the future of that and the future of True Capitalist Radio.
No one gives a shit. All right? You fucking 30-year-old virgin. Nobody gives a flying fuck, all right? So why don't you take you and your fucking Saturday night fucking porno pony fucking anime runs and shove them straight up your virgin fucking gay ass. This guy's a fucking virgin, doesn't even know if he likes to take it up the ass, and yet I'm the bad guy, right? I'm the fucking bad guy. This guy's waxing his carrot and probably putting foreign objects up his ass, looking at animated cartoons, fucking, but I'm the bad guy, right? Shut the fuck up, you stupid, milky-licking, nipple-clamp-loving, butt-plug-up-the-ass-looking, fucking squirrel-fisting, fucking testes-tasting, fucking brony, slonghead-sucking, two-girls-and-one-anus-having, pecker-shaft-fetish-having, Lena Dunham-licking, Jehudi-jawboning piece of shit! Stay out of my show while you're at it there, you fucking brony losers! I hope nothing but the worst for you bronies. You're fucking a waste of life, and if there's anybody who's molested within a mile radius from any of you fucking bronies, you should be the prime suspect! You should be the prime suspect! Anyway, before I went off on that tirade about a bunch of people who probably should be put to sleep, I wanted to talk a little bit about this New Jersey couple and their little, you know, virtue signal by starting this GoFundMe for the homeless man that gave them $20. A typical liberal to ask a fucking homeless man for $20, right? This homeless man gives them a $20 because they're in the middle of nowhere. They fucking ran out of gas. Homeless man gives him $20. These stupid people, Kate McClure and her boyfriend Mark D'Americo, decide,
hey, let's go ahead and go, let's start a GoFundMe for this guy.
And now they're refusing to give him his money. You know, typical fucking liberal, all right? Typical fucking liberal. This is what you get. This is liberalism right here. Do you think liberals really give a shit, man? They don't. And that's been my biggest criticism of these fucking pieces of trash. Every time I see an Occupy in front of ICE in Portland, Occupy in front of the immigration office, every time they pull one of these Occupies, what do? They leave a biohazard mess for taxpayers to pick up. If you idiots really cared about being socialists and collectivists, you people would be somebody out there, somebody would be taking leadership and saying, hey, we're not leaving this fucking Occupy area in a complete dump. We're going to keep this fucking place spick and span clean so that when the media fucking shows us occupying this area, it'll be spotless so we can show that collective ideology can make society better. But do I hear anything or do I see anything of the sort? No, I don't. Do I ever hear any collectivist talk about the true collectivization of a human race or a human geopolitical populace? No. All you hear is this abstract language of free this and free that. You don't hear anything about collectivization. Everybody who is advocating for socialism and communism is not advocating it for the collective. They're advocating it because they are going to get free food. They are going to get a free education. They are going to get free health care. It's more selfish in socialism and communism today than capitalism could ever be. Because these people aren't true collectivists. They're not true collectivists. Because if they were, they wouldn't be leaving these piles of shit every time they occupy a place in protest. Because when you're occupying a place in protest and you have the media spotlight on you, you want to show Mr. and Mrs. Joe Sixpack how your perspective is the right way to go. And you're not going to convince them by being a bunch of stupid idiots whenever you have a goddamn microphone in your face. You can't even fucking utter out your goddamn political grievance, let alone any kind of solution for the son of a bitch. And then you leave all these occupied areas in a biohazard pile of piss and shit and torn up signs and tents and all this garbage. How in the hell are you going to convey collectivism when every time you display collectivism, you show the bare bones reality of the end goal of collectivism, which is dirt shit? Because remember, when you give yourself to communism and socialism, you are literally giving yourself to it. You have no freedom. You have no decision making. You have no choice. And each and every one of you that are advocating this, that's what you're doing. You're giving up your rights. Even though you're practicing your little rights out there, now that Trump's in office, you go out and protest and, yeah, resistance. You wouldn't be able to do that in a socialist country or a communist country. You wouldn't be able to protest. You wouldn't be able to resist. You wouldn't be able to have any kind of opposition whatsoever. Only in America. Only in America can you do this, because we appreciate the rights accorded to us by God as defined in the Bill of Rights. We have the freedom of speech. We have the freedom of the press. We got the right to bear fucking arms. And we as America are the last stand in this world of freedom. And I hope each and every one of you understand this. Everywhere across the world is being consolidated into totalitarianism. Take a look at the UK and the surveillance state and the totalitarian police state that they're implementing out there. Take a look at the EU. They invited in the problem the wild Yehudis, the migrants. They're the ones causing the terrorism. They're the ones causing the crime. And what are the authorities doing? They're punishing the people that were citizens. They're implementing totalitarianism. Do you understand that? That's what this is all about. That's the end goal of socialism and communism. And that's why I'm against it. And that's why I advocate against it every goddamn Monday, Wednesday, and Friday on this broadcast. And I challenge you collectivists. Give me an example in which you have displayed your wares that it would convince a whole populace of people into believing that it's a viable social organization idea. Give us an example. You have none. You have none. And the only example that was sustaining itself for the time being was socialist Libya under Muammar Gaddafi. And guess who took out Muammar Gaddafi? The fucking communist and socialist in Europe and the United States at the time. Remember, Obama helped the European Union take out Muammar Gaddafi. And Muammar Gaddafi was a true socialist, man. Muammar Gaddafi, and look, I'm not trying to advocate for this guy. I'm just trying to make the argument. You faggots out here that are promoting socialism and communism, you idiots can't even say one fucking model that worked. And I'm giving you one that worked. And it only worked because Muammar Gaddafi was an individual who made decisions that genuinely cared about his people. And it would have ended as soon as he died. But what Muammar Gaddafi did once he took over the country was made sure that every Libyan citizen had a hard roof over their head. And he forced his parents, when he took power, he forced himself and his parents to live in tents in the desert before he put himself in a palace, because he wanted to make sure that everybody in Libya that was a Libyan citizen had a home. And when everybody in Libya had a home, that's when Muammar Gaddafi and moved him and his parents into a home. Muammar Gaddafi took the oil revenues that he would receive as a goddamn country. Because remember, it's an oil-rich country. He would take it and redistribute those oil incomes from the country to the people. If you were a Libyan citizen, you would be able to get free health care. I mean, do you understand? This was what socialism was. How come your boys out here in the EU, how come Obama took out Muammar Gaddafi? I'll tell you why. Because he wanted to recreate the dollar. He wanted to create something called the gold dinar, in which it was actually backed up by gold. As a matter of fact, I think the actual fiat currency was going to have gold in it. And he was going to convince many within OPEC to specifically trade oil with those gold dinars. And once you start doing that, once you start taking over and thinking you're going to take over the petrodollar, that's when things are going to happen. And that's exactly what happened to Muammar Gaddafi. Muammar Gaddafi was going to create the gold dinar. You can look this up for yourself if you don't believe me. And right before he did it, his contract was canceled. Let's put it that way. So I'm challenging you socialists and communists. I've given you a model where it was half-ass working. And believe me, that whole goddamn socialist land of Libya would have fallen apart right when Gaddafi left. Why? Because it was Gaddafi in his kookster head that believed that his people deserved so much. And where did it get him? I mean, where did being so gracious to his people, where did that get Gaddafi? Did they die for him? Did they fight till their last breath for Gaddafi because he was made sure that Libyan people had houses and made sure that Libyan people had free health care, made sure that Libyan people got a piece of the oil revenues? Where were the Libyans to fight the incursion? Because that's what it was, folks. I mean, even Gaddafi said it. As a matter of fact, I think I've already aired it that he said that it was Al-Qaeda that's coming in to infiltrate Libya. Because we know it. It was our assets. We sent them there. And we also got air cover from France and Germany. I remember the Libyan offensive. And they took him out because this guy thought that he could create a new fiat currency to trade oil in, and that's a big no-no, man. You ain't going to mess with the central banks. You better have more than just a little army in North Africa to challenge the central banking system. But I digress. The reason I brought up Gaddafi is because, once again, that's the only socialist model that was ever fledgling and half-ass. Name any other socialist model, communist model, it's all garbage. I mean, take a look at Venezuela. That's socialism for you. Take a look at all the other communist models. It's unsustainable. It doesn't work. It doesn't. It doesn't work. The only where it's half-ass working is in China. And let's talk about China, for instance. Why is it working in China? Because there's over 1 billion people in China. And you got 1 billion people that don't, you know, I mean, let's be honest. I mean, not all of them know how to feed themselves. Not all of them know how to clothe themselves, house themselves. So that's where the central government comes in and, you know, basically plans this all for the billions of people. I mean, the communist government of China micromanages every aspect of the Chinese life to the point in which, you know, you're told what to do at every component in life, how many children you're going to have, whether or not you're going to get a house. Believe it or not, folks, there is no private ownership in China. Even though technically the land is owned by the communist government, but there is no land ownership. You can only lease land for 70 years at the most. Leasing it. And the reason that 1 billion people need to be dictated to is because prior to Mao Zedong, the Chinese were in complete and utter desolate crap. I would strongly advise people to read about the Opium Wars that destroyed the entire culture of China and turned them all into opium addicts, destroyed Confucianism, destroyed their way of life, etc. And it wasn't until Mao Zedong, by force, by militant communist force, took control, took power of China. And, you know, when the when Mao took power, the Chinese were like, yay, yay. But China, like most communists, realized that their power is in the city. So what he did is he allocated all the resources of China to make sure that the cities and the people amongst the metropolises were fed. And those that weren't of any use to the Great Leap Forward, you should all look that up. The Great Leap Forward was Mao's policy of turning China from an agrarian society to an industrial society at a rapid pace. And during the Great Leap Forward, Mao had no problem killing over 30 million plus people in the Great Leap Forward. Probably more than that. I've read 50, some 30, just in the Great Leap Forward alone. And why did he do that? Because China is a communist. They're a communist country. They're a centralized government. And they're going to feed the people that are going to progress the communist government faster than the natural state of evolution, because that's what these communists think. These communists think, because they have no God and they're atheists and their philosophy is dialectic materialism, they believe everything that they lead, including human beings, are material. And when these human beings or material are of no use, what do you do with material? What do you do with excess wood? You burn it. You know, what do you do with excess, like, rocks and cement? You break it. You destroy it. You eliminate it. And that's what these communists think. They think of everything in that capacity because that is their philosophy. They're godless. They believe in dialectic materialism. And I've explained dialectic materialism, but I'll explain it again because I know it's very complicated. Hegelian dialectics is a philosophy in which one interprets the world in the following capacity. Right now, as we can see reality, Trump is president. Now, what these assholes in the Democratic Party are trying to do is expose contradictions so that they can impeach Trump and create a whole new reality and a whole new perception of reality. And believe it or not, Hegelian dialectics is this gradual exposing of contradictions and hypocrisy, which creates a new reality and a new perception, which eventually that new perception and new reality gets exposed for contradictions and hypocrisy, which creates a whole new perception and reality, etc. Now, according to Hegel, who wrote this philosophy, through this evolutionary process of dialectics, at the end of the dialectic process, we will come to a contradictionless society. That's what Hegel believed. That eventually, through all this evolution of exposing contradictions and creating new perceptions and exposing contradictions in those perceptions and creating new realities, that eventually we will get to the contradictionless society. Now, when you add materialism onto Hegelian dialectics, that changes the whole game of Hegelian dialectics. Because unlike regular Hegel dialectics, when you're just waiting for the evolution of every reality to be exposed of contradictions and are waiting for this evolution that could last for years, thousands of years, who knows? No one knows. I mean, that's the Hegelian dialectic. I mean, we're in a new reality and a new perception, and at some point the contradictions and the hypocrisy are going to be exposed within this, and we're going to have another reality and another perception. Well, these communists believe that they can rapidly facilitate that evolution by force. By force. And that they don't want to wait for the evolution dialectic process. They are forcing the dialectic process by central planning every aspect of the government. Do y'all understand where I'm... Y'all are following me on this, right? This is what communists truly believe. They believe that the ends justify the means when it comes to killing people, killing animals, eliminating natural resources, smogging up their fucking air like they are in China, poisoning their goddamn drinking water, etc. They believe that the ends justify the means because they are trying to rapidly facilitate the Hegelian dialectic. They're trying to beat evolution. They're trying to force evolution of dialectics at a rapid pace. And that's what makes communists so dangerous, because they don't care how many millions of people they have to kill in order for them to facilitate the end goal of dialectics, which is a contradictionless society. Even Marx wrote about this in the Communist Manifesto. Karl Marx said that communism was mere a holding pattern. It was a holding pattern until the state was no longer relevant. Believe it or not, I mean, the end goal of communism, at least how Marx defined it, was anarchism, was no government. That the communist government was a holding pattern for however long to create the contradictionless society. Now, I know that's a mouthful, I know that's a bunch of mumbo-jumbo, but this is what these fucking communists believe. And that's why they're dead serious. You know, that's why they're serious about everything, man. I mean, that's why I try to tell each and every one of you that are listening to me that you should take it serious. You need to take things serious. I'm not kidding around, folks. I mean, there is no time to be sitting here acting like an immature 30, immature 20-year-old. There is no time to be sitting here in your 20s watching cartoons and thinking that's okay. That's not okay. That's not okay. And if you think it's okay, then you are a part of the sheep, and you and your life are disposable. I hate to say it. You and your life are disposable. You see, at least under a capitalist system, when you are a low-life piece of garbage that can't do anything, capitalism doesn't rob you from the opportunity from getting out of that. You know, just because you're a piece of crap today doesn't mean you're going to be a piece of crap forever. Capitalism allows you the opportunity to find yourself and to motivate yourself to bring yourself out of whatever rut or whatever poverty or whatever situation that you're in. You have no choice in communism. You have no choice in socialism. Anyway, I didn't mean to go off on that soliloquy, folks, but man, I cannot believe that we have this many people in America that are promoting socialism and communism, and they have no idea what the fuck they're talking about. None. None. Anyway, let me move on to the last couple of stories here. I want to talk a little bit about some international relations. Did you all hear that the president has canceled Secretary of State Pompeo's trip to North Korea? Because according to the president, there's not sufficient progress being made on denuclearization of the Korean Peninsula. Now, I want to be honest with you. I think personally that what is happening here is the United States trying to take a hands-off approach to the Korean Peninsula problem. Because if you want my opinion, it seems to me that there is more negotiating between the South and North Koreas bilaterally than it is incorporating America as a party in these negotiations. And the reason I say this is because we saw here this week that North and South Korea brought families that were separated because of the Korean War to meet each other, and it was a very sad situation. There was a lot of videos taken, a lot of people crying, etc. But that says to me that North and South Korea are still on somewhat of a dialogue, but the problem is that, you know, Kim Jong-un is not going to denuclearize, and he's not going to get rid of his ICBMs. Now, I want to be honest with you. I don't think that's a bad idea. I mean, I think what Trump's trying to do is trying to lower America's responsibility when it comes to this region. I mean, we have a lot of military assets in Korea, and it costs American taxpayers a lot of money. And I think that even if there's at least a peaceful situation amongst the Koreas, that at least that can salvage time, and we don't have to be at the DMZ and have to, you know, have troops over there and whatnot. I mean, this is not our problem. I want to be honest with you. We don't have a dog in the South Korean fight. And I think Trump knows this. And if you want my opinion, I've said this before and I'll say it again. I don't think a nuclear North Korea is a threat to America. I think it's more of a threat to China than anyone else. I mean, why do you think China keeps tripping over itself trying to continue to invite Kim Jong-un to China to meet? I mean, right after the damn Singapore summit with Trump, what did they do? The Chinese brought over Kim Jong-un to meet. Why? Because China's a paper tiger, man. They don't want to fight anybody. These people think that they're all big and badass. They don't want to fight anybody. I mean, let me give you an example. They're putting troops now in areas that already have troops. What kind of pussy shit is that? Like, China's putting troops in Syria for whatever fucking reason, which we all know, you know, they're probably going to get their asses handed to them, and they're probably going to be in the rear with the gear while the Russians and the Turkish and Assad's forces are out there doing most of the dirty work, okay? Then you've got our president. Did you hear President Trump tweeting about the South African situation, in which you've got the ANC, the African National Congress, the Party of Mandela, now acting like a bunch of racist, disgusting pieces of trash, trying to do land grabs based upon race? And they're land-grabbing white farmers' lands, and they're, I mean, from what I understand, there's almost a somewhat genocide of white people in South Africa. I mean, folks, Do y'all remember when they were trying to tout that, oh, the ANC and Mandela, they want peace, and they want peace in South Africa, and peace this and peace that. Hey, folks, why don't you do a side-by-side of South Africa during apartheid, a picture of South Africa during apartheid, and take a picture of South Africa now. I'm not saying apartheid was a good thing, but those pictures, like the proverbial saying goes, speak a thousand words. And now that the ANC has control of South Africa, instead of helping their people, they are acting even more belligerently and violent than apartheid. I mean, this is what I'm saying, folks. I mean, you know, you give an inch, they'll take a thousand miles. And, I mean, I just don't understand. Anyway, look, I'm digressing there. The reason I brought up South Africa is because now that Trump tweeted with some concern about the white farmers that are having their lands being stripped of them in South Africa and being genocided in South Africa, now you've got China sending troops to South Africa. China is sending their troops all over the place, and if you want my opinion, that's pussy shit. Because you know as well as I, these Chinese aren't going to do any fucking fighting. The Chinese are pussies. They haven't even seen any combat. You know what I'm saying? And that's why China always delicately approaches diplomacy with its neighbors. And I'm talking about neighbors that can be formidable adversaries. And I've kept telling you about this one, and I'm going to keep telling you about this one. India is a prime example. Lest we forget, last year these guys were on the war footing over the disputed area of Bhutan. And then China bowed down to India at the BRICS summit. And I'm telling you, I just don't think India really is a true ally of China, and I don't blame them. Because I think that India could probably kick the shit out of China. I mean, India historically have been brutal fighters. Brutal savage fighters. And they've kicked Pakistan's ass in a few wars. And lest we forget, man, India can match man for man China. I mean, China and India have similar populations in population amounts. So anyway, I think that going back to North Korea, and the reason the president has, you know, kind of abandoned ship on this North Korean situation, if North and South Korea can come up with some kind of peace agreement on their own, then they don't need the United States there. And we don't need to spend that money there. And to be honest with you, I think South Korea could take care of itself. I mean, we let Taiwan take care of itself. Y'all know who Taiwan is, a little country, Taiwan. You know that the Taiwanese, it is the remnants of the Chinese nationalists of Chiang Kai-shek that retreated once the communists took over China. And China hates Taiwan. As a matter of fact, China believes that Taiwan is a part of China. If any world leader says that Taiwan is its own country, China gets pissed off, man. I'm not even kidding around. So, in my personal opinion, man, I'd like to see China in some combat, and I think that they're paper tigers. They're surrounded by nuclear powers, like I've said many times. India's a nuclear power. Pakistan's a nuclear power. If North Korea continues what it's doing, it's going to be a nuclear power. So as much as China wants to flex its nuts, it ain't shit. And by the way, the Chinese, they don't know how to produce nothing. All they do is copy shit. You notice that? Have you ever heard of any kind of a China invention that has been worth a crap? No. They copy everything and manufacture it and claim that it's their own. I mean, that just goes to show you the unoriginality of the Chinese. You know what I mean? So they don't have very much cunning in their head. If you want my opinion, that's just my observation. You know what I'm saying? I'm just saying. I mean, you know, they just copy shit. They're not like the Japanese, man. You know, the Japanese, I got to give props to the Japanese, man. I mean, They are innovators. They create shit. I mean, lest we forget that these guys created, you know, badass electronics that have made that country very rich. I mean, I could go back to the 80s. You remember the fucking Sony Walkman, you know? I mean, all that shit, the fucking VCRs and the TVs, and you name it. They started building cars. I mean, they were making a fortune. And you know what it is? It's their engineering. They have their own way of engineering. It's their own shit. And that's what I respect about the Japanese, man. They're innovators. They create their own innovations. They create their own inventions. They don't copy anybody. That's why the Chinese hate the Japanese, if you want my opinion. The Japanese have always been innovative people, probably since the beginning of ancient times. And that's why they're hated. That's why the Japanese and the Chinese hate each other. And I got to give props to the Japanese once again, man. They are great innovators. They are great thinkers. Lest we forget that Japan is just a small little island compared to the rest of Asia. And they've still been able to kick some ass, you know? So anyway, props to Japan. Once again, China, nothing but a bunch of copiers, nothing but a bunch of people who take other people's shit and try to make it their own. And China is, and that just proves that they have no kind of cunning. They are not intelligent whatsoever. So I'm just saying. And I don't think that it means much that the president canceled this trip to North Korea. North Korea hasn't, you know, launched ballistic missiles. And if it does again, then it's more of a threat to China, because as I stated, China's supposed to be the lifesaver of North Korea, right? I mean, they're supposed to be buying everything that North Korea produces. It's supposed to be feeding North Korea, etc., right? I mean, China's supposed to be the entity that's supposed to calm down North Korea. But if North Korea is throwing ballistic missiles in the air, and North Korea is doing nuclear tests, that doesn't make China look very strong. It means that Kim Jong-un and the North Koreans aren't listening to China. So it just goes to show you that the big stick that China thinks that it's walking around with in the damn Asian area ain't shit. It's as little as their little wee-wees. No offense to the Chinese, but, you know, we all know that you guys are packing, you know, not very much. So anyway, let's move on, all right? It's not like they have to pack very much because they got like those pocket chicks, you know what I mean? These like pocket little Oriental chicks, you know? Fucking so small you could fit them in your pocket, you know? Anyway, let me get to the last subject matter on this Baller Friday, folks, and that is Canada's Justin Trudeau. Oh, yes, oh, it's Justin Trudeau. Somebody help us. Saudi Arabia is going to do some kind of terrorist attack on a country, and America and the EU are not, they're not helping us. I just want them to leave me alone. Well, folks, I'm going to be honest with you, folks. According to Canada's Justin Trudeau, he's claiming that talks are underway with Saudi Arabia, and that they're going to try to solve this diplomatic dispute amongst them through this channel of diplomacy. But in the same fucking breath, this idiot Trudeau just could not help himself from virtue signaling in the same remark in which he claims that talks are underway with Saudi Arabia. This idiot still remarks about, I'm still concerned about human rights in China. The whole reason why Saudi Arabia is pissed to begin with. So how did Saudi Arabia respond to this? Well, even though you had Justin Cuckold Connoisseur Trudeau coming out here trying to calm the nerves of his Canadian bacon maple leaf up the ass having people, and saying, yeah, we are in diplomatic channels, talks are underway, all right, everything's going to be okay now, but I still am worried about the human rights in Saudi Arabia. I'm sorry. I'm Justin Trudeau. I'm fagging off now. Well, you know how Saudi Arabia responded to this, folks? Saudi Arabia responded by imprisoning two brothers of a Saudi Arabian activist that lives in Canada. I mean, look, that's wrong. I mean, don't get me wrong. I mean, I feel bad for the schmucks that are being, you know, in prison for no reason because they're guilt by association because their schmuck brother went to Canada, is now a citizen of Canada, and now talking all this shit about the Saudi Arabian government from Canada. But that's how the Saudis responded to Justin Trudeau's supposed claims that talks are underway with Saudi Arabia. And I'm telling you, he should have shut his mouth after that, but he couldn't. He can't help his virtue signaling wannabe liberal self. He made the remarks about human rights again, and the Saudi Arabians once again responded by imprisoning the brothers of a Saudi Arabian activist. The Saudi Arabian activist that lives in Canada is named Omar Abdulaziz. Well, his two brothers in Saudi Arabia have been imprisoned because of Trudeau and his virtue-signaling ways. Brothers Ahmed Abdelaziz and Abdul Majid Al-Badenaziz have been imprisoned by the Saudi Arabian government. And if you want my opinion, it's in response to Justin Trudeau trying to virtue signal once again when claiming there's diplomatic channels open with Saudi Arabia. I'm telling you, folks, I'm telling you, there's going to be a 9/11 attack in Canada unless Justin Trudeau gets off of his dildo and bows down and kisses the ring of Donald Trump. And then and only then, in my opinion, is when Canada is going to be safe of any kind of terrorist act. I'm talking 9/11-2001 style terrorist act. And why is that? Because of this with Saudi Arabia. I mean, don't you people understand, and I'm talking to you people in Canada, that Justin Trudeau allowed the migrants to come in, especially these battle-hardened Yehudis right out of Syria and elsewhere in the Middle East. He allowed them to come into Canada, settle in, and do you not think that Saudi Arabia doesn't have some kind of sleeper cells in Canada that are going to detonate themselves whenever they're fucking told to do so? I mean, Trudeau brought the enemy into Canada! Trudeau brought the enemy to Canada, for Christ's sake. And you know what's even more sad about that? You know how he's paying for it, right? And I know some of you Canadians already know, but it bears fucking repeating. He's paying for this immigration policy, this liberal immigration policy, because he sold all of Canadians' gold reserves. That is what's paying for this goddamn immigration experiment by Justin Trudeau. And, of course, you Canadians are like, oh, it's okay, eh? It's all right, eh? Don't worry about it, eh? Got a beer, hoser? You're stupid fucking idiots. I mean, I'm telling you, the rake is coming. I'm telling you, the day of the rake, Leafs! The day of the rake is coming upon you! I'm just saying. Anyway, we've got about a few minutes left, okay? So what I'm going to do here is I'm taking questions from the True Capitalist Radio chat room here. What's going on to the True Capitalist Radio chat room? I'm going to be answering questions here for the final 8 minutes because it is a Baller Friday edition. And, you know, we don't have any more things to talk about, so I will take questions from you in the True Capitalist Radio chat room. Just go ahead and start posting them in the chat room as you wish, and yours truly will answer them here for the next 8 minutes or so. Let me go ahead and take a swig of some soda. And believe me, my mind wants beer, but my body is appreciating that, you know, I'm not out here guzzling down 12 packs and then, you know, kind of topping that off with about 4 or 5 shooters of some Blue Label, you know what I mean? And I feel better, too. I'm telling you, as days go by, I feel better, right? What's the worst investment I've ever made? Probably the worst investment I ever made was believing the schmucks that and actually thinking that they had any potential because they made a few grand. You know, that was my biggest mistake. That's the worst investment. All the time, effort, and energy to Sardine and wannabe Conquistador and Thomas More and Baldy and Forest Faggity fucking stick a goddamn Canadian tree up my ass unicorn and a June bug and all these faggots, all right? All right, how do we combat Silicon Valley domination without being censored by providers? Well, you have to support independent content creators. You've got to support independent social media. You've got to support independent people that are creating things and not hate on people, you know? I mean, that's what people like to do. When they find somebody trying to build something, trying to start something, it's just a bunch of hater-aid. That's why I have my own website. That's why I'm broadcasting my own. And that's why I'm down with Gab. You know, Gab is an independent operator, man. You know, you are in control of your content on Gab. So that's how you start. You support people that you appreciate that create content. And you also, appreciate social media and other websites that provide good services. That just goes without saying, man. What establishments have a strong hold in the esoteric side of life? Well, goes without saying, the Jewish religion, the Catholic religion, obviously the secret societies of the Masons, the Rosicrucians, the Hermetics, the Scottish Rite. There's a lot of different groups and factions that culminate the people that control the world. People like to believe that it's just one person or one group. It's a consolidation of groups. It is order out of chaos. If you take a look at history, all the groups that are kind of having this order of organization out of chaos have all at one time attempted to take over the world and failed. So that's why it's order out of chaos. That's why chaos is a big deal in the esoteric philosophy, because to create order out of chaos is control. But I don't want to get too esoteric because people start getting a little freaked out and people start being like, oh, man, I don't want to talk about this ghost. I'm getting a little scared, man. I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to talk about it. Where do we give our addresses for the newsletter? I'll tell you what, don't send them to me now. Wait till September and I'll start asking for them, but you can either send them to me on my Gab account, a direct message, and believe me, every direct message that's sent is trashed. It's purged like within 7 days by default. That's what's cool about Gab. So there's no kind of records or anything of that nature if something gets hacked or whatever. Or if you feel more comfortable, you can private message me on the Discord if you happen to be a part of the True Capitalist Radio chat room. I mean, either one, but don't do it yet. Let's wait until September. I want to write the thing first. I want to design it, make it look cool, etc. So anyway, I appreciate your question, though. I will let everybody know. Did you get the expression about falling asleep at the wheel from Tupac's song Sleep? No, I didn't. Falling asleep at the wheel has been a euphemism as far back as I can recall. Why the fuck do you think that I'm copying Tupac? You know, fucking Tupac Shakur? No, that's not it, all right? Let me see. Who else do we have here? What's your favorite American rock band? Well, if you're talking about general rock and roll, like, you know, I guess you can define rock and roll. Oh, Jesus Christ. I can't really say one band per se. But in the rock genre, I would have to say probably Guns N' Roses. You know, and I'm talking about that Appetite for Destruction. Lies album was pretty good. And Use Your Illusion 1, Use Your Illusion 2. That's when they started getting a little, you know, a little off-keister, a little bit more mainstream, etc. But that Appetite for Destruction, that fucking album rocked. I mean, I literally, when I got that damn album, shit, that was back in 87, 86. When I bought that fucking album, man, I was listening to that shit front and back, side A, side B, man. Badass fucking album. Every song on that album kicked ass. The only one I probably didn't like was Sweet Child of Mine, because that was kind of faggy, if you want my opinion, but that's just me, you know? Anyway, how will it be harder to be a capitalist in the future after Trump? Well, you're going to have Democrats that are going to increase the taxes, they're going to increase regulation, and because on the federal level they're doing it, they're going to do it at a municipal level, they're going to do it at a state level, and this is exactly what happened in Obama. I mean, that's why it was hard to be a business owner in Obama's time, and that's why you had to be an unbelievable capitalist to survive, like yours truly. You know, I mean, it was fucking tough, very tough. Who would win, Stevie Ray Vaughan or Jimi Hendrix? I'd have to say Stevie Ray Vaughan, man. I'm sorry, Stevie Ray Vaughan. I mean, he used Hendrix as an inspiration, so it's not to negate Jimi Hendrix and his contributions to the guitar, but I think Stevie Ray was just unbelievable, man. That's why he was taken away from us so young, and it's sad. It's really sad. Do you think that Israel has too much influence on American politics and government? Well, absolutely, I think they do. I think there's a lot of people that have influence over America's government. I mean, if you think about it, the people with the most influence over America's government is the pharmaceutical companies. And the proof is in how they were able to, you know, I'm talking the pharmaceutical companies, how they were able to send the government after Martin Shkreli. I mean, and I don't want to go over the Martin Shkreli story. You all know my opinions on that. He was set up, you know, because he himself, through his own will and ambition, was able to put himself at the table of the pharmaceutical companies, and the pharmaceutical companies were like, can somebody get this kid and kick him the fuck out of here? And that's why he ended up in jail. It's truth. Because, like, why did he go to jail? Why did Shkreli go to jail? He went to jail because of some paperwork that, you know, he misfiled, and, you know, it broke SEC law. I mean, nobody in his hedge fund lost any money. It was all technical paperwork bullshit. So anyway, let me move on. Who else do we have here? What do you think of the Grateful Dead? Man, they were pretty liberal, man. They were pretty liberal. I liked some of their music, like Truckin', you know, like Truckin' and Shades of Grey and, you know, things of that capacity, but they were pretty liberal. They lived in San Francisco. They were kind of beatniks. You know, they used to kick it around the beatniks. And now the beatniks are all the old professors now, these old fart fucking 70, 80-year-old professors that are out here leading the communist movement in America. So I have mixed feelings with the Grateful Dead. Somebody's asking me, BMW or Mercedes? Ooh, I own both of them. All right, I don't want to say too much because then you idiots will probably try to find out who I am. But I own a pretty badass Mercedes and I own a pretty badass Beamer. If you want to look good and you want to impress people while you're driving down the street, a Mercedes is a more dramatic, elegant car that's going to turn heads. But if you want to drive and drive fast, and you want to be able to be on the freeway, and you know how you're kind of going on the freeway, or like let's say you're on the freeway and people are coming on, and, you know, they try to kind of, or no, you're coming on the freeway. When you're coming on the freeway and people try to go faster so that you can't go in to, you know, you can't move ahead and move into the freeway. No, not with a BMW, man. With a BMW, your car has too much horsepower and it's too fast for these idiots to try to play those types of fucking going on the freeway games with you. So if it comes to the, you know, driving fast and driving period, I would go with BMW. When it comes to, you know, making an impression at a place or, you know, rolling up and having people's heads turn, I would definitely say Mercedes. Definitely say Mercedes. If you didn't live in Texas, where else in the United States, where would you live? Where would I live? I don't fucking know, man. I really can't tell you. I mean, to be honest with you, I have no fucking idea where the hell I'd live if I wasn't living in Texas. I mean, I guess, I mean, my first reaction, because, you know, it's the adult playground, I would say Las Vegas. But I would probably get tired of that shit, you know, because, you know, it's, you know, you'll kill yourself out there. I mean, look, I just stopped drinking, for Christ's sake. You can go drinking out there 24 hours a day. I would probably say Las Vegas, you know what I mean? Because it's, I mean, you know, it's the city that never sleeps. You can drink 24 hours a day. You can smoke cigars. I hear now you can smoke marijuana. You know, now you could smoke marijuana out there while you're gambling. So I'd probably say that. And it would probably be temporary. I wouldn't stay there forever, but I don't know. I think that's the first thing that comes to my head. Yeah, that's the first thing that comes to my head. What else do I have here? How about the Blue Oyster Cult? I like a couple of their songs, you know. I like, obviously, Don't Fear the Reaper, and then that one song, I'm burning, I'm burning, I'm burning for you. Those are classics, you know. So I guess I like those two songs. I don't think I like anything else from Blue Oyster Cult, man. What's your biggest pet peeve on the road? My biggest pet peeve on the road is probably broads, because they don't know how to fucking drive. You know, I mean, it literally every time I've almost got into a car accident and it had to involve some stupid broad that just was not looking, did not care, or whatever. I don't know. It's probably that. No offense. No offense to you women out there. You know, no offense, you know. Are you familiar with Canadian real estate? Was curious to see if you have any insight, as I'm purchasing a downtown Toronto high-rise condo unit for an investment, not my personal occupancy, that is. I think it's a decent investment, man, as long as you're able to get the mortgage down to where if you were to charge somebody rent for that high-rise, you could at least clear somewhere in the range of $500 to $1,000 a month. If you can do that, then I think it's worth it, because you've got the tenant paying for your mortgage, and at the same time, you're getting a income on top of that, man. So I'm just saying, man. I think that's it's a good deal. I mean, it's a hell of a lot better deal than getting a 3-bedroom house when you're a single schmuck. I mean, look, the idiot that bought the 3-bedroom house will say, "Yeah, but I can rent out the 3-bedroom house." And hey, how many families do you see out here? I mean, you're seeing more and more single people. You're seeing more and more people that living by themselves. That's why rents for apartments are going up the ass. And instead of Sardine going after that 3-bedroom house because he's an impulsive idiot, he could have easily done the same thing as this gentleman here and got himself a little condo, you know, got himself something... something little, man. Something that's easy to maintain. Something in which you buy, and if something breaks down, it's not going to cost you an arm and a leg. Something that isn't going to cost you $50,000 down, you know? I mean, something that'll just be, something that'll actually be easy. It'll be an asset. It's an income property, you know? So, anyway, I'm just trying to help people, man. You know what I mean? I'm just trying to help people. Anyway, why do I hate Oklahoma? Because of the Sooners. That's why I hate the Oklahoma. I hate the Oklahoma because of the Sooners, man. Anyway, I think that's about it for the questions. Everybody else... Oh, there's somebody on Gab. What is your opinion about the Waco siege? Well, I mean, let's be honest, folks. I mean, if y'all are not familiar, the Branch Davidians were a group of Seventh-day Adventists that had a compound outside the city of Waco. And as they were, you know, kind of a very, very fundamentalist religious sect that all lived in a compound, they also were gun dealers, like legitimate licensed gun dealers. And because you're a gun dealer, the state and the federal government can see how many guns that you have in your possession. And because the Branch Davidians in Waco were getting massive amounts of guns because they were gun dealers and they went to gun shows and they made money like that, but because they had a lot of guns in their compound, it threw a red flag for the feds. And because they decided that they had this new agency called the Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms that they were going to use, they needed to be used to some capacity. Now, what justified the siege on Waco was a supposed report that David Koresh, who was the leader of the Seventh-day Adventist in Waco, the Branch Davidians, the reason they invaded, or the reason that they went in, is because supposedly he was having sexual relations with the teenage followers and things of that capacity, which under congressional testimony was proven a bunch of bullshit. Okay? Now, let's just say for the sake of argument that, okay, David Koresh, let's just say for the sake of argument he was, you know, banging 16-year-olds and 15-year-olds, okay? Then why in the hell did you call out the Calvary to go and raid this whole fucking Branch Davidian compound on an allegation? On an allegation of being any of David Koresh sexually abusing children. On an allegation that ended up being proved years later in a congressional hearing false. How come they went in and they raided the Branch Davidians on an allegation, and yet you've got Catholic churches across the world that are pedophile breeding grounds? There have been millions of children that have been molested by Catholic priests, and yet do you see the type of siege that you saw in Waco during the Branch Davidian situation? Did you see the type of siege that you saw with that one polygamous guy that was also in Texas in a compound that had all those broads and those frontier dresses and shit? I mean, how come this is not happening to the Catholic Church? How come there's no siege on the Catholic Church for molesting millions upon millions of kids for hundreds of years? And by the way, folks, I want to be completely honest. Another reason, if you want my opinion, another reason why you had the ATF go in to the Branch Davidians compound is because a couple of those ATF agents were actually worked very closely with Bill Clinton at the time. Now, I'd like for you all to do your own research because I'm about to get off this broadcast, but I'd like for you all to take a look at the footage of what happened at the Branch Davidian compound. And what you'll find after looking at all the footage is that ATF agents were shooting ATF agents. And then what you'll find is that the ATF agents that died were directly connected to Bill Clinton in a capacity in which they used to be his state troopers that would go and tap on women's heads and say, "Hey, you see that guy over there? He's the governor of Arkansas. He wants to rape you. So come on. Get over here. Come on." I mean, these were the guys that died in the Branch Davidian compound that were ATF agents. And if you don't believe me, take a look at everything for yourself. These are absolute facts. Anyway, folks, we're already almost 15 minutes into the fourth hour. I'm going to go ahead and spend the rest of my Baller Friday kicking back for a little bit. I'm going to be in the True Capitalist Radio chat room here in about 30 minutes. I'm going to go see what Mrs. Ghost is doing. see what she's going to be making this evening. You know what I'm saying? And then, figure out what we're going to be talking about in the True Capitalist Radio chat room. Once again, I'll be in there in 30 minutes. If you want to come on and kick back with us, well, then I strongly advise you, come on down. If you want to join the True Capitalist Radio chat room, all you've got to do is do the following. Okay, listen here. Go to my Gab account right now, Politics Ghost, all one word, no underscores, Politics Ghost, and click the subscribe button for premium content. Click the subscribe button for premium content, and once you do, private message me on Gab. Private message me on Gab and let me know your Discord chat name, and I will give you a private invitation to the True Capitalist Radio chat room. It's that damn simple. And once again, I want to remind everybody, starting next month, everybody who belongs to the True Capitalist Radio chat room, and look, we're going to go through an audit next month and make sure everybody's up to date for paying. I know there's a few of you that ain't, and you're going to get kicked the fuck out. And not to mention, if you want to get back in, you're going to have to fucking pay for the fucking months you didn't pay for, you fucking thief. Anyway, with that being said, everyone who is a part of the goddamn True Capitalist Radio chat room will receive a newsletter every month that they're a part of the True Capitalist Radio chat room. They will get a newsletter every fucking month. And not to mention, I'll be giving out prizes to people. So, you never know. You may be opening up a newsletter and then, oh, shit, look, there's a $20 bill. $20 bill. $50 bill. $50 bill. I'm not even kidding. Or gift cards or whatever, man. Because I want to give back to everybody who is supporting, you know what I'm saying? And, capitalist of the month and, shit like that, man. And not to mention, the newsletter makes it, makes it a little bit more intimate, makes it a little bit more private. And I want to show how serious I am about capitalism, man. I want to show how serious I am about this broadcast. Like I said, man, I don't really make much off this broadcast. And whatever I do make, I'm in the hole, I mean, I bought this fucking $300 mixer that I got here. I've got three computers that I'm looking at over here. I got a fucking website that I paid like $600 for. And when I mean $600, I think it's like 300 something a year, so it's only a year thing, but it's still 300 something bucks a year. And the reason that it's so much is because I have it on a server that, fucking idiots that want to hack, they're going to have to hack some fucking major corporation to get to my shit. I'm in the hole on this thing, but you know what? I want to be honest. I am dedicated to my political purpose to continue to spread the word of capitalism, man. I mean, these demonetizations and, these bannings are not going to stop me from my political will. They are not going to stop me from my political will whatsoever. And that's why I keep going. Anyway, folks, if you do like and do appreciate the content, please go to ghost.report right now. Click the cryptocurrency wishing well. Throw some cryptocurrency in any one of those wallets and make a wish. And not only will your wish come true, you will also be helping to sustain the True Capitalist Radio broadcast. And anything is appreciated, man, because they're trying to demonetize us. They're trying to stop us. They're trying to do everything they can to silence the right. And we can't do it, man. And not to mention, if you appreciate this type of content, it takes users to appreciate content to keep it sustaining, to keep it going, man. That's what I'm saying. Anyway, let me go ahead and get off of here. It was a pretty good baller Friday, if I don't say so myself. I want to thank everybody in the inner circle here first and foremost. It has been a breath of fresh air to kick it in there. We're talking about creating apps. We're talking about different plays. It's just been a breath of fresh air, man. I mean, here recently in the inner circle, they were discussing the schematics of 3D printing and it's badass, man. I mean, that's what the inner circle was meant to be, man. When you go in there, it's just nonstop think tank discussion of very, very intense subject matters where even people that are just sitting there listening, they can gather something about it. They can gather and, you know, some new knowledge or learn something, etc., you know? Anyway, folks, thank you guys very much for listening. I really appreciate everybody who listens to this broadcast, appreciate everybody in the inner circle, and, of course, everybody in the True Capitalist Radio chat room. Once again, man, I do what I do so that people can move ahead. And when people are just okay being stagnant, then I don't want to be around those people. I don't want to be around people that are like, yeah, I'm okay being a fucking schmuck idiot, and yeah, I'm just going to sit here, and yeah, I'm just going to do this and make other people's lives miserable. I don't like that shit, man. So, anyway, thank you guys for tuning in with me. I will be in the True Capitalist Radio chat room here in about 30 minutes. And hey, oh, by the way, check out some merch, baby. Ghost.market, excuse me. Type in your browser, add to your bookmarks, add to your favorites, ghost.market, so that, you know, you can get some merch. You know what I mean? Ghost.report merch. You know what I mean? True Capitalist Radio merch. Russian hacker merch. Just imagine walking around with a Russian hacker shirt. People are going to be like, what? You're a Russian hacker? Yes, I am, comrade. Remove kebab shirt. We're going to add more and more shirts, as a matter of fact, man. And we're going to add more apparel. We're going to add flags. We're going to add all kinds of shit, man. So, once again, please take a look at ghost.market and add it to your bookmarks, add it to your favorites. We're going to add more merch as time goes by. Anyway, I am out of here. I hope you have a good weekend. Tomorrow, if you are a part of the True Capitalist Radio chat room in the inner circle, we're going to have a movie night again tomorrow, man. We're going to have a movie night again tomorrow. It was a badass movie night on Saturday. For those that weren't there, we were watching When Nietzsche Wept, which was a great movie, and the movie Barfly. Now, the reason that I went this direction is because I figured since we were watching When Nietzsche Wept and it was kind of an artsy movie, even though it was a historically correct movie, I decided that, you know, why not continue on with that trend and continue on with an artsy movie? So we watched the movie Barfly, which is a depiction of the real-life 20th century poet Charles Bukowski. And we had some great times, great commentary over the movie, great discussions about the movie, etc. So I'm thinking about 9 o'clock, 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. If you're in the True Capitalist Radio chat room or the inner circle, come on down with us. We're going to be doing some movie watching, critiquing, all that good stuff, man. So thank you guys for partaking in that last weekend. We're going to do it again this weekend. Anyway, I am out of here. I will be back Monday, 6:30 p.m. Central Standard Time. And make sure to spread it around like wildfire. The True Capitalist Radio's official website is ghost.report. Anyway, I'm out of here. Long live the capitalist army, and death to feminism, death to socialism, and death to communism. I'll see you all Monday. You understand what I'm talking about? Until then, don't drink too much, boy.